What happened? Did I get unblocked?
You survived the purge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone almost went on there like, who blocked a black guy? Can't have that.
That's a lost vote. No, it ain't.
I don't, let's see. All right, we are live. Try not to say the N-word, Harry.
So those naggers, right?
Right. The white ones or the black ones?
Oh, the black ones.
We're having a problem with the white ones lately. You ever run across a white one, Harry?
Decatur Central High School.
Yeah.
Usually white ones go up, you know, up in high places before when they start nagging.
Who nothing no good naggers. Harry, can you hand Greg that set of headphones, please?
Oh, he
they're just bothering me all the time.
Which ones are Greg's?
The nice ones.
The white ones.
Oh,
right.
Don't give him the Mexican ones. Those are for Gina. She didn't come back, so mansplained her.
We've lost all the Hispanics from this show.
They meet Harry.
Did Greg?
We?
Yeah.
Bittner?
Can't,
Bittner?
Well, Bittner doesn't count. Bittner's vaguely ethnic.
Vaguely.
He's in on a cruise.
Yeah, he's on a cruise.
The Advocates is better funded than I expected.
Apparently.
They must not have to pay into an unemployment fund.
You'll want to scoot.
Yeah.
There we go. This is a little too... Okay, there we go.
Although I'm not going to talk until Harry calls on me.
Dang straight. You stay over there in the back of the podcast.
No AC back here, Harry. You're a prick.
All right, Greg, how are you doing today?
I'm doing, but this is going to be fun. I'm glad to have Flatbill here. I never get to see him, and so this is good. This is great fun because his schedule's always at night.
All right, now I don't even know what your name is, Flatbill.
Justin
talk into the mic, please. I was kidding. All right, so. Yeah.
Pretend it's a potato.
Right.
Potato.
And put it on a short bus.
No, it's like this is potato.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how are you doing, Justin?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Good. Turn that mic a little more towards you.
There we go.
There we go.
All right. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. How about you?
Great. All right. Harry, how are you?
Doing awesome. You know, got to drive outside. He was doing that big curve on I-65 going down to Southport. That hit that about like 85. It was awesome. I caught like this BMW that thought he was going fast around it.
All right, you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Nope, nobody. Fine then. Screw you guys.
Screw you guys.
I wasn't given permission to speak. I was
practicing. Why is his mic on? Why is his mic on?
I'll press it. I'll just keep it like this until you point at it. I'll just have my hand up like that annoying kid in class.
Harry's
I know the answer.
That's not an annoying kid. That's me, okay?
I do the annoying.
I was in class one time, and the teacher's like, can someone besides Harry answer one of these questions?
I know it all, huh?
Teacher, you forgot to collect...
Shocked you're a free stater.
You forgot to take homework. You didn't give us homework?
Oh, I'd have fucking... Oh.
I was 6 foot tall, 200 pounds of muscle. You would have what?
Beat you in golf and then shamed you.
So you were one of those guys.
Yep.
I'd have hit it to 10 feet and tossed my club at you and said, make sure that ball's clean when I get up there.
I had no short game in high school.
See, I'd have wrestled you. I can get up and down from anywhere.
Danny, how would you like to mow my lawn?
My sister used to destroy me each time when I would get...
Sister's super hot.
I'd get so close and she just... Nah, I'm like, boom. I'm like, come, stop it. Golfs. How are you doing that?
She golfs.
All three of my sisters. Actually, I have four sisters. Three sisters do the lesbian doesn't.
Interesting.
All right, you guys ready?
Which one is Spangles?
Yvonne.
Yeah, my little sister, Yvonne. Yvonne's, he claimed that one.
Yvonne Spangle.
She's so hot.
She claimed that one. She's on bed rest right now, so probably not.
Yes, she is.
No. Nope, never mind.
She's on bed rest.
All right, you guys ready?
She's on bed rest.
Here we go. Right.
Wonder how she got there.
9 months pregnant.
She smokes, she pokes.
She only does white dudes, though, so I don't know.
She does white nerdy dudes. I'm in.
Yep, so, yeah, sorry, Greg, you're out.
Oh, I can autism better than anyone you know.
You're too ethnic for her?
I do have a swarthy look. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Next, before I meet Yvonne, I'm going to just not go outside for 3 weeks. lose some of my pink hue, my ham color. All right.
Honey baked spangle.
Okay. Let's focus on this terrible stuff that's going on.
She only likes goth guys.
Yep. Another guy, like, he's super white. He plays Warhammer.
Uh-huh.
That's okay.
That's interesting. I got a Warhammer.
Let me email some ladies, find out if it's actually a Warhammer or a ball peen.
Can we make an online dating file for Spangles, Honey Bank Spangle?
Oh. Honey Bank Spangle on Bumble.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you swipe right on Honey Bank Spangle?
Let me open up the virtual machine.
I'd tap that.
Mm-hmm. Wait till you taste his sweet outside crust.
That's the one of the cool benefit by the Android operating system is you can boot it up in a virtual machine, so you can have like five different Android like phones up on your screen.
Now, did you... Hold on, I want you guys... Did you guys hear this?
Yeah, so there was a lady who pushed her way forward into the concert venue into the first row.
Okay, that sounds like shit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
You two can...
It makes me feel uncomfortable, especially coming here for my 21st birthday and not knowing if I'm safe, not even knowing if I'm safe going home tomorrow on an airplane, so...
And how did you get out of the venue after this all happened?
We actually weren't there whenever the shooting had occurred. We had already left about maybe 10, 15 minutes before that. But we just barely made it back into our room whenever it started.
And, I mean, were you thinking, oh my gosh, this woman told us that before we left?
Yeah, I thought it had a positive correlation to it. Like, obviously, she was telling us that in... either to tell us to warn us or to tell us that we were all going to die, and she was part of it. So
okay, so they want the description of this woman.
What? You think that's fake news? It's a local TV interview.
The fakest of the fake news is local TV.
I'm not going to dispute that, but...
You want Bruce Kopp doing your investigative journalism?
Yeah. Dave Calavero?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
Look at this helicopter. How about those Pike Devils? They really got over on those Brownsburg Bulldogs tonight.
I worked 3 hours on my hair.
Yeah. He does have hair that's perfection and doesn't move.
Antonio Castellan, stay there. We want to go to the video right now that came in.
Yeah, because it just kind of blew me away what was going on because I just got up because Gunther woke me up and I just started noticing all this stuff.
Yeah, Harry was full woke when we, by the time...
Being fired by...
News 3's Christy Wilcox at...
Sorry, I couldn't hear... You couldn't hear yourself? Did you not hear you?
Yeah, I heard me.
All right. It's hard.
I'm very bassy, so I can hear myself in my head very easily.
While she is talking to a victim right now, Christy...
Helps when I want to hear an expert.
Okay. All right, you guys ready? Harry's getting a little uppity.
It's all the beer.
All right, you guys ready?
I'll drink a few more of these and teach everyone how to make a nuclear reactor real quick.
God, just like that one party where you couldn't go outside for fear of catching autism.
It was him and Philip Frayne in the same room.
Oh, my
terrible
God.
Because then it turns into a standoff on who can go further down. I can build my own nuke rabbit hole. I don't care if I get tumors. I'll do it right now. I just need a shovel.
It was so annoying. They ruined my birthday party with their autism.
I can give a shit. I'll do chemo right now.
I had one request for birthday present. No autism. And Harry ruined it.
God damn it. You're like Doc Brown.
Right.
With your fucking pinball machine parts given to the Libyans.
The strangest thing is how I went off about that. I listened to this podcast, and this guy was went out there to the desert and started doing the same thing I was talking about.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Would never waste your time doing that, though, but you were trying to pretend you would.
Yeah.
And that all you needed was a shovel, and you'd have a nuke within a few weeks.
Hey, he took the uranium on the plane somehow. Yeah, he got it through TSA security. Well, because he put it in containers and then put in
flux capacitor
aquarium gravel. So nice, thick, inch thick, so that all that radiative materials inside this thing.
Good.
I was really hoping he was going to tell us he keistered it.
He gave himself chemo. Awesome.
You don't do that.
Congratulations, and he did it on a plane, even better.
Right.
Joined the Chemo Mile High Club.
Right, thank you. All right, here we go.
And Harry thinks he's a god.
This is very serious. We've had a murder. We've had several. And Tom Petty died. Treat this with the love and respect that you would.
I'm sorry. Like, I kept asking Lacey, who the heck is Tom Petty?
When you think you're white.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. We explain to you what is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. Essentially, we make you sound smarter when you talk to your friends. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, and subscribe on Patreon at WeAreLibertarians.com. In exchange for supporting our program, we give you all kinds of bonus content and freebies. We're always taking your comments and questions via email at editor@WeAreLibertarians.com. If you are new to the program, we catch up for the first few minutes and then deep dive into analyzing current events in society from a libertarian perspective. This show is for adults by semi-adults, so please be warned, the language is strong and offensive. Now, we have quite the show. I don't know who to introduce first because now
on
Tuesday shows, my co-host is Harry.
I get introduced first, even though, like, the other guy, who, until, you know, someone says his name, he can't talk, try to sabotage me with this beer that has given me the incredible hiccups. I don't even, can't even, like, trying to recover over here, okay?
Now, Harry Price, you, and then on Greg, like, the autist that
yes,
he
Greg.
Is.
Yes, Greg.
Has his hand up. Greg Lenz, how are you?
Mr. Price, I'd like to answer the first question on the list.
Go ahead, Greg.
I'm doing well. I'm excited to be invited here. You know how Harry is about his little fiefdom.
Yes, Harry is very particular.
Separate but equal about his little fiefdom.
Right.
I only allow Chris on here because he gets in the Trello mines once in a while.
Exactly right. I go down and dig for stories in the Trello. Fellow minds. Also joining us is Justin Hutchinson. Justin, who we affectionately refer to as Flat Bill because of his flat billed hats all the time. Justin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for joining us. You're wearing a lovely t-shirt today.
Yeah, I'm repping the 7.62 rounds on my shirt.
Now, listen, every time we do a show where guns are discussed, the comment inevitably is, could you get somebody on there who's fired a gun? Because you and Greg don't know shit about guns. Guilty as charged. Have you ever even fired a gun, Greg?
I have. Okay. I have. I've actually fired an AR-15. We were blowing up rubber pumpkins and squirrels on a bachelor party. It was a great time.
And so, you know, we're going to talk about some gun stuff tonight, but we wanted to have somebody on who is, you said, listen, I'm no expert, but I own a couple guns, right?
That's correct. I have a fair share.
Yeah. Now, you ran for what office in 2016 for the Libertarian Party?
I ran for local government here, Franklin Township Advisory Council. I gave it my all, only spent $100. I got 30% of the vote, which was about 27% better than 4 years ago when they had the challenger. So
nice.
It was a great overall experience. I enjoyed it, but I've been taking a year off of politics until you hit me up today.
Yeah.
And invited me in.
Yeah.
You actually let me make some propaganda for your campaign.
I did. Greg, yeah, we were going to build a wall.
Around and, Franklin Township.
We were going to build a wall around Franklin Township and keep all the Yendi people out.
We were tired of Marion County coming down and, you know, working and then taking their money back to the to their, you know, families in Marion County. And so you just needed to build a wall. And people right. really, they responded to it.
Yeah, Unigov's a crock of shit.
Exactly.
Sure is. Awful.
He made Franklin Township great again.
Destroys things.
So, Justin, somebody we wanted to have on for a long while, and we've just never done it before, and so we're happy to have you here tonight. And then we'll, you know, your shirt is very fitting and very aggressive.
Yeah.
Very aggressive, but I like it.
It was unintentional.
I kind of feel like you walked up to the border in a Make America Great Again hat and just... That's the equivalent of what you've got on right now, given the circumstances.
If you were Mexican, you would not be going home tonight. You'd be going straight to jail. I mean, it's...
I like to rub it in people's faces. I don't care.
Now, go check out our YouTube channel if you want to see what Justin is wearing in his flat bill hat. Harry, I don't know what the hell is on your shirt. What is that?
It's Doramon.
What is Doramon?
You never watched Doraemon when you were a kid?
Never.
It's a children's animated TV show. It's really cool. It does all kinds of adventures, gets in trouble, teaches, you know, like life lessons.
Okay.
You should watch Doraemon more often.
I don't know even know where I would begin to find a Doraemon.
You can get Doraemon on Crunchyroll.
Okay. What is that?
Crunchyroll is like Netflix, but for anime or people who like Asian like videos and stuff like that.
I like Asians.
There's a lot
like
of that
Asian,
on there.
And I like Asian videos.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have those on there?
Yeah, they have those Asian videos. If you're talking about like Asian soap operas, like Korean shows and
that's
stuff like
exactly
that.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Korean soap operas.
Now, if you are looking...
They use soap.
Yeah. Now, if you are looking...
How dare you, the Koreans are a clean people.
Yeah.
Very.
Korea is like the America of the East.
Yes.
Like from everywhere I've noticed is like any place an American probably could go with because like an American had to go to Japan, you'd probably hate it. You'd suck there. But like in Korea, you know, they're loud. They're kind of dirty. They're basically Americans.
Yeah, they're basically the best of them over there.
Dang straight.
Right.
They're awesome. They're the fun. I mean.
Yeah, they're fun people.
Right.
Okay.
Well.
So. And the one thing I would want to say is Unigov is awesome in this one point here is because it has made these small territories between different parts of the city. And if you live in those lines, it's awesome. That's the only good thing about Unigov. Other than that, it sucks and has ruined Indianapolis.
Let me explain what Unigov is for the 98% of people who don't live in Marion County. Basically, Dick Lugar, who was our senator, was the mayor in the 70s, and he and the city county council combined the county and the city into one government, and it became Unigov. So, Dick Lugar was a forward-thinking wunderkind mayor, according to most people. Indianapolis has been blessed with a lot of good mayors.
The
so.
Small government conservative that did the centralizing of power.
Exactly right, yeah.
It's an Indiana
Shocked
tradition.
Got primaried and lost.
Right. All right, so enough grab ass for this show. enough grab ass. We got a very serious show to talk about tonight. We invited Greg from Thursday to come on Tuesday because we felt that we didn't want to wait and get Greg's opinion until Thursday. You and Harry were going back and forth today and had a great discussion, and I was like, you know, I'd rather you guys do this on the air in front of everybody but me, you know, like... more than one person should be able to hear this, so I figured I'd have you come on instead of asking Harry to come to Thursdays. We asked you to come to Tuesdays.
It's the first.
You were summoned.
I'm always doing the inviting.
Right.
At last.
He's treating you like you treat Kat. How do you feel about that, buddy?
I feel like I need a safe space with my Aopiandas.
Go back to Thursday.
In South Korea.
Now... Kat is doing a little better. We need you to keep praying for Kat. She has a disease that only attention will cure. She's also got bronchitis. But your thoughts and prayers earned her a spot on the BSU AOPI Instagram. And so she was very excited about that and made her feel a little bit better. So thank you for your thoughts and prayers. But remember, keep praying. Hashtag pray for Kat. And keep giving her the attention that she needs. Right, Greg?
We have a cat?
We have a cat.
There's three cats?
Three cats. So hopefully Kat will be back Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Be great. Good times.
Hey, listen up. Stop.
Well, you said she did comedy, you know, your regular thing, and I realized she was a sales intern once I heard her comedy.
All right, so let's jump into what happened in Las Vegas. Obviously, it was we'll briefly for anybody listening who doesn't really know what happened. I can't imagine that there's many of you. We'll give you a detailed breakdown of it, but it in many ways, I will tell you that this was the first national tragedy that really affected me since 9/11 in an emotional way. Sandy Hook was an emotional thing, but I wasn't as connected for whatever reason. I don't know if it was however many videos there were out there over this. It just was very tough to watch. And at one point, driving in yesterday morning, just listening to the audio on CNN on satellite radio, I started to just tear up. I mean, and so I think there's a lot of you out there who really feel the same way, and I spent most of yesterday being angry. And, you know, as a person who watches the news and politics so often, not a lot really gets me in, you know, it's just kind of like whatever, because I've been around it for so long that I've just kind of become callous to everything. But this got me, and not just this, but also everyone's response on social media pissed me off so much. It just was so self-centered and annoying. So let's start off with what happened. Justin, if you back that mic up just a tad, or you can sit back when you're not talking, that might help there.
He called you a mouth breather.
I can't help it.
No, it's just that he's so close. That mic is so sensitive, so it doesn't matter who it was. So,
I like Lindsay's feelings. So sensitive.
Dainty.
Sometimes the heaviest burdens we carry are not our weight, but our feels.
So a killer, we won't name him. You can go look it up if you really need to know his name, but you know, we tend to not try to memorialize these guys. The killer, 64 years old, white male, massacred 59 people from his hotel room at the Mandalay Bay. He was on the 32nd floor, shooting down about 400 yards into a crowd of around 22,000 people attending a Jason Aldean concert. And he had 23 guns. I have seen upwards of, he had 40 guns total and 23 in the room, ammunition littering the floor, and he had killed himself as the police entered the building. Now, once the shooting started, and you've probably seen the video, CNN, it's like the only piece of video that they seem to have was off stage, and Jason Aldean is playing, and then he runs off stage, and that's when panic really set in. Because most people thought it was fireworks. It's Las Vegas. And then, you know, Jason Aldean, when he ran off stage, they realized it was serious and started seeing bodies start to fall. And then police, you know, this they had adequate security. They had adequate police coverage. They had people going through metal detectors and pat-downs before they walked into the venue. So security-wise, there isn't anything they could have done differently. And police started to put together where the shooting was coming from. There weren't muzzle flashes from that 32nd floor, by all accounts that I've seen. And obviously anything that we say tonight is, you know, as far as we know, and this is the night of October 3rd. This happens Sunday. This is a Tuesday. It's a Sunday night at 10 p.m. in Las Vegas in, I think they're on Mountain Time?
Yes.
Yeah, Mountain Time. So 2 hours behind us. So so the police start to put together where it's at. The smoke detectors actually go off in Mandalay Bay. That tips off security. The SWAT team's officers organize the scene, and then a group of officers start running towards Mandalay Bay to get up to the room, and then SWAT blows the door open. Las Vegas is one of the towns in the nation that is most prepared for terrorist acts because, obviously, it has always been a highly discussed target in the United States for Al-Qaeda, for ISIS, for domestic terrorist attack, and their police department is greatly prepared for any kind of terrorist attack. So their SWAT team was on it. There were 150, 200 ambulances by any estimate. Basically, every ambulance in the entire city was rushing to the scene. The first responders, you know, we give first responders a lot of shit, but in this situation, first responders acted admirably, as did just regular citizens. You see these accounts and you listen to this, and it's not just first responders, but it's every person in the crowd became a first responder, shielding other people, some sacrificing their lives to shield others, administering first aid, putting people in the back of trucks, running away, bringing their cars back to transport people to the hospital. The hospitals were so well prepared that they had to turn doctors away because at certain points because they had more doctors than they had patients. So the entire city of Las Vegas really, you know, not only does our heart go out to them, but also just a bit of admiration for not just their city services, but also just the people that were there. And it was not just a great display of the American spirit, but also the human spirit. And a core tenet of this program is that human beings will always act out to help others, sometimes at the detriment of their own safety. to help a fellow human being in need, and that was greatly displayed in this situation. And you know, it was just a tragic thing to see, and there were so many cell phone cameras capturing so much of it that I think it was just right in our face. And part of me also thought, wow, this is what it's like in a war zone. Wow, this is what it's like in a war zone that we perpetrate. You know, I mean, this was really one of the first times that I think Americans really got a good sense of what is happening when they go over and fight for our freedoms. I mean, it was a grisly, in-your-face look at the reality of what most of the world, especially in the Middle East, what they live with every single day.
When we liberate them.
Right.
You know, I thought it was the first crowdsourced mass tragedy. Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because like the Boston bombing, they did the, you know, search for the Sarnoff brothers on Reddit, but this was sort of the first time it was normies doing the recording.
It's not the first time like someone has found somebody, because the Unabomber was found not by the FBI, but was found by regular people.
Right.
But yeah, this whole like tragedy was like everywhere on Facebook.
It was
Live.
People with like AOL email accounts that were recording
just
this.
There, and, messaging to each other like, hey, this is what I seen, this is what I saw here.
This is I guess the way to put it is the first citizen journalism
mass casualty.
Yeah, because like 4chan couldn't have been more wrong at every single step in this entire situation, including naming again the wrong person yesterday morning. And it's just like, guys, stop.
Well, because that weaponized autism just like had one bad piece of intel and they had to work on it. But once that intel was corrected, they corrected themselves.
Right.
Right. It's garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
You say so. I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, no. He was standing up for 4chan. Oh. He's a mod on poll.
Yeah. I do want to say this. Like, we're not critical of first responders like EMT, firefighters, stuff like that. I think Wall's more critical just of police who abuse their power, not first responders.
Not even all police, just police who
abuse their power. That's what we're critical. And police who watch that abuse of power and don't do anything about it.
Right.
When it comes to regular police officers who help people out, or to firefighters, EMT workers, you know, or like, because most of those people are volunteers, just like the volunteer state police in Indiana and the volunteer firefighters and EMT workers out there that do all the good work.
I'd like to chime in too, because as a libertarian, I'm one of the oddballs. I've actually attempted twice to join the Metropolitan Police Department here in Indianapolis, and I do aspire to be in law enforcement. Unfortunately, I waited so long and I aged out, so I have to find a unique way in. You know, I'm still looking at possibly being a reserve officer, and my drive to do so was to, you know, try to make the change from within the department. I'm not anti-cop, but I'm also not a bootlicker by any means either. You know, I just want to get in there. I want to, you know, be able to do the right thing by people. I mean, they do provide a service to so many people, and I like to provide service to others, you know, and I think we could do so without stepping on the necks of people and you know, hurting their freedom.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I've always believed that libertarians should engage local law enforcement and be that. They're the first line of defense in protecting people's constitutional rights, and if they don't know what those constitutional rights are, and respecting that, then who's going to educate them? And libertarians ought to be the ones out there doing that. You made a face, Harry. What's the face about?
I don't know. Cops aren't the front line of defending someone's personal rights or something like that. You are your own first line of defending your own personal rights. You are yourself, not cops. You are yourself.
In terms of government down is what I meant.
Within the framework and discussion of the government bureaucracy.
Exactly right. That's what I meant.
Yeah, within like a general larger picture, because obviously self-preservation is the first. But then outside of, you know, since you give up rights in exchange to access the government and the services it provides, they are the first responders for your personal rights.
Right. And most police officers are really the only government agents that most people truly come in contact with.
True.
You know, maybe the BMV, but I don't even go to the BMV anymore. I do it all online.
Thank you, Mitch Daniels.
Yes, thank you.
Well, unless you're you and it's the Secret Service and you're actively trying to overthrow the American government.
Yes. my various run-ins with IRS agents and that sort of thing. Here's what's tough about this is the media is looking for anybody to blame. And any narrative to attach to this, and any political narrative to attach to this, And so far, 48 hours, is it 48 hours out? They're unable to do so. They're unable to find anything. They're unable to find a motive by the shooter. They're unable to find political ties.
There is a note. There was a suicide note that's on. If you look at the picture I put on that Zero Hedge article, there is a pen with a piece of paper on the actual coffee table.
Okay.
We just don't know what the contents of it are because the investigation is still ongoing.
Yeah. It's because, like, the Las Vegas Police Department is so well done for a terrorist attack that they are keeping a tight lid. They are trying to discuss everything and get that with the FBI before they release it to the public, unlike most police departments, which that would have been leaked 12 hours ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is just so far outside of what the normal mass shooting it's bizarre. Like, you can take the jihadist angle. Okay, well, ISIS claimed that he was one of them and converted months ago. And let me say this, ISIS, go fuck yourself. How dare you have so low scruples that you would claim credit for something you didn't do? That's dishonest. We don't like that.
Absolute haram.
Absolute haram. There's no clear ties that all of the law enforcement, his family, they all say he had no ties to jihadis. He wasn't a religious person.
The one thing that could be the perception of it is he wired $100,000 2 weeks ago to that Mary Lou Daniel, who's his live-in girlfriend.
Right.
And so the Philippines is sort of the new ground zero for ISIS since they've been driven out of much of their Middle East strongholds.
But here's a guy who was a millionaire. He was an accountant. He was a real estate investor. He had several homes. It's not out of the realm of the possibility that he just wanted to send his girlfriend $100,000 and said, hey, I'm out of here.
Well, she was on a vacation with her girlfriends and still is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? He might have said, go place a big bet on an Arabian sports, horse race.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a big gambler. Like, he deals in huge bets, based on the report so far. It isn't like he's doing $2,000 nights at the blackjack table. Mm-hmm. He's doing big $30,000 bets repeatedly.
Correct. Yeah, that's what he does for fun.
Mm-hmm. And in the last week, he's gambled $150,000. They've found.
Yeah, it could have been a casino over there that she was settling a debt.
Exactly right. So, he had a camera inside of his hotel room as well as down the hallway to watch police officers. He had at least one lens set up to tape himself as he fired hundreds of rounds of thousands of unsuspecting concert goers several hundred yards below his casino suite. He had made millions, according to his brother. I thought this was another difference in some of the other. The family, the brother, was on TV all yesterday morning, While I felt bad for him, I mostly felt bad when he said, I've got a 90-year-old mother who is suffering right now because she's given birth to the worst mass murder in American history. And I felt so bad for that old woman. And the brother, there's something about the brother that just didn't set right with me. I don't know what it is. I didn't feel sorry or empathy for him. I felt like he weirded me out. There was something about him that just seemed off. I don't know if it's just me. Let me know if it's just me or I'm crazy or if you felt it too. Tweet at me, at Chris Spangle. But it just seemed...
It seemed canned to me.
It just seemed a little off.
He knew he was supposed to feel bad, and even though they weren't close, he played it like they were.
Right. There was just something inauthentic about it. And
it'd be like how Harry would feel if it was me. Right. They interviewed Harry about this.
Right. So
like,
sad.
Oh, Greg was a great guy. I mean... Yeah.
Didn't
be all fake.
See things, was going to go golfing the other day.
Greg Lenz, Kat Anagnos snapped and committed 100 murders over the course of 10 years. Were there any signs?
Quite a few, really. I always didn't want her on, but I lost that vote.
You'll have to refer...
One man, one vote.
Refer all questions to Chris Spangle.
Yes.
But unfortunately, he's under a patio. He was the first to go. The brother said he made millions from his real estate deals. He was an amateur pilot. He had several properties across the U.S. He was always into gambling. He said he was not a gun nut. He had several pistols, and when he helped him move recently from Mesquite, Texas to Mesquite, Nevada, when he helped him move, he didn't have really any guns, let alone any assault rifles. He ended up with 42 firearms, at least one of them an automatic, which is, so the law for automatic weapons is that it is anything at, made before 1986 you could have, mm-hmm. but you had to have registered. They still make automatic weapons. Correct me if I'm wrong, boys.
No, no more.
You cannot buy a brand new automatic weapon.
They're not made since 1986.
Okay.
For civilian use.
And okay. even the replacement parts you cannot get for anything made prior to 1986.
Okay. So if you owned something before that, because they were...
Tommy guns.
Right. Yeah, they were legal.
Yeah, the Thompsons.
They were legal until 1936.
Yeah, pre-1986. It's grandfathered in. So, right. Yeah.
And so, but you have to register with the ATF. You have to pay $200 and you have to go through extension, year long background checks of, mm-hmm. of
it's
all
like immigrating
brands.
From the Middle East with a brother that's a known, you know, held right. at Abu Ghraib. Like, it's that kind of vetting.
Correct. Yeah. And if they would have had one in and they, the moment he would try to move with it, they would know he was trying to move with it.
In the cost alone, and obviously he could afford it being a multimillionaire, but I mean, no Joe Smo's got 20 grand to go buy an M16 that was, you know, pre-manufactured before 1986.
Right. Correct, yeah. And the person is selling it's not going to sell it for 20 grand.
No. No, no. I'm sure the street guns go for a little bit more than 20 grand.
Yeah.
So, so he had two that had been modified with legal bump stock devices that allowed semi-automatic guns to give full auto fire up to 800 rounds a minute. Several had scopes and packed military-grade ammunition. What is a bump stock?
Bump stock is just basically just a stock on the side of the gun, so when you the recoil of the gun, so the AR-50 will basically bounce, forcing your finger to pull the trigger down faster.
Okay.
That's all it is. You can achieve it with this specially made stock, which is not really like specially made, it's just kind of just cut off. You can do the same thing just by cutting a stock and putting like a rubber piece at the end, like a dart, like a
dart. It's like a recoil to make your finger go, give the appearance of an automatic firing.
Correct. And you can do the same thing by sawing off the... Okay, I'm giving advice, but don't do this. You can saw off the... Don't do this. Allegedly, you can saw off or take off the trigger guard off your AR-15, put a rubber band around that, and then run that rubber band to the front of your gun where you're... if you got a handle there, then you can use that to bump fire, do that. But this is like an old style, like a way of firing. People used to fire like the Western guns like that. If you watch some of the old Westerns and they would bring their hands out there, they're basically bump firing that like that Colt.
Yep, exactly. Just tapping the back of the actual hammer.
That's all it is. And bump firing is not easy. You have to
it's physically demanding, first and foremost. Yeah. And the accuracy, there's just no accuracy in it.
Yeah.
And so for a 64-year-old guy who never had any military experience, never was a gun nut, I mean, it just seems odd that, I mean, I'm not claiming any conspiracy here because I've seen the photo of the guy dead. I mean, I believe the official story.
It would tear up your shoulder, too, because it's using your shoulder as the plunger for the auto fire factor.
Okay.
So, like, you could probably do one magazine like that, and it just runs into your shoulder. But after that, that starts getting hurt. Mm-hmm. Granted, your adrenaline's pumping. Maybe you're not feeling this, but your shoulder's going to wear down on this.
Not only that, the rifle will overheat. You'll get jams. Yeah. You know, it's just... I mean, it's fun to go to a range and you know, drop a mag with the bump stock. But, I mean, other than that, it serves no purpose.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I guess it serves some purpose, right? I mean, he had tripods and there were clear – I mean, it took the cops nearly an hour, I think an hour and some – an hour and 10 – an hour and 15 minutes or so to get to him. I mean, it was – It wasn't easy to locate him at first, so and that's why you hear it start and stop and start and stop is he had time to reload. So like
72 minutes,
but
right.
72 minutes.
Yeah. But he was in a hotel room. He's got four walls, right?
Right.
And you've got to be able to. You don't know it's just one person, okay? Mm-hmm. So that SWAT team is going into a hotel room which is full of people, many doors, many corners, many shadows. I'm shocked it took so fast.
Right, the room alone was a two-bedroom suite, so it's not like it was just your standard hotel room either.
Yeah, you know,
and he had rented two rooms and gone checked in 3 days before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and tried to go there and tried to clear and get in there so you don't lose anybody too, because the worst thing you want to do is get flanked inside there because being seen in there and getting flanked and just you could lose a team.
Yeah,
so they would probably move slowly. I'm shocked they moved that fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
They also had no idea that it was just one shooter.
That's the other thing.
I think they sweat more than one floor.
Correct.
22nd floor.
Yeah, and they just went up. Yeah, because they didn't know. You know, and could he have moved floors? So they have to go very slowly and move and get everything carefully.
Well, and for your anti-gun, your pro-gun control friends, I mean, with 72 minutes, he can reload, and he could have a sharp shot rifle, and he could have killed just as many people. I mean, it doesn't matter that it was a machine gun. Those are scary, but with that amount of time to constantly reload, it's
was it a machine gun?
Whatever.
it was an assault rifle.
Listen, legal. Let me just say this right here. This is a good place to introduce.
It was a modified
this.
Semi-automatic rifle.
Yeah.
Gun people.
Uh-huh.
I know you love your guns, and I want you to have your guns.
I like dictionary.
And one day, I am sure that I will shoot guns. We're working on a series that I'm going to put together to do that. I don't give a fuck about your corrections. You people are like Mormons when you talk about the Mormon church. You people are like abortion people on either side when you talk about abortion.
It's like a criminal defense attorney calling out the standards of how the blood was collected.
I love you people. You're my people. But
you people.
We're like libertarians talking about Rose.
Every time you talk about guns, you guys belt me with autism. And I'm going to say right now, I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to guns. That's why I've got Harry and Justin here to help us. Okay? But calm down. Like, you guys don't help your case, because it's like, even when your allies start going, blah, 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 machine guns. It wasn't a machine gun. It was an AR. Get your terms right, you stupid motherfucker.
Say that. I'm just trying to correct you, because saying machine guns and those, like, inflammatory words just puts guns in a bad light, especially when you're trying to go talk to the people who want to just confiscate, you know.
Well, Newsweek itself put out an article saying we should ban machine guns, saying, well, that'd be good, considering
that.
It'd be redundant legislation.
Let's ban them twice.
That happens when you're a content factory and don't have reporters.
Yeah, they did
ban them again.
1936.
Right. You know, that was the Tommy gun phenomenon created by Prohibition.
Well, no, not necessarily. I'll stop. I won't go to it. So I'm just going to get autistic. That's not why the Thompson.
At the end of
the
day, what he tried to accomplish, he did. The gun he had been fitted in a way that it was darn close to the effect that you would have with a machine gun, because he was able to fire 800 at a time.
But you could have said that if he just fired off one shot or just did like triple tat. The thing that matters is that he had a machine and it fired brass down.
So he had a machine.
At a sea of people.
Yeah.
22,000.
He had a gun that was like a machine shooting bullets, Harry, is what we're saying.
Machine guns just have a different...
We get
22,000 people for 72 minutes. We could give Spangle an unmaintained Colt 45 from the OK Corral, and he would do damage. That's the point. Is it isn't this whole debate about the technicalities is a total distraction.
Exactly.
Well, if I'd have gave him a high point, there's no way he would.
No. Here's my point. Here's what I'm saying. I'm trying to help make the argument for you, and you stopped me to lecture me about machine gun and using that term. And it's like, now I'm just not going to finish my point. Fuck off.
Now I want the law.
Right.
Now the pistols are banned, Harry.
Right. You know what?
And we're going to Keene.
I want all the tanks, and you can't have any, and I'm going to roll you over with them.
You can have a tank, though, if you want to pay for it.
I know. I'm just saying.
There's a cannon, too.
Those of you who are very passionate about this issue need to make sure that you are not, like, being annoying.
Have the social awareness to not be counterproductive.
Right.
On getting into a technicality debate.
This is exactly why in the last 48 hours I have posted absolutely nothing on Facebook about it.
Right. Hmm. And you're somebody who teaches, you have no qualms at all about teaching self-defense to your own family members.
Exactly.
You think it's a smart thing to do, is it?
I have a 10-year-old daughter that she's been shooting for the last 2 years, and she's damn good at it. And I will teach all my kids to shoot. I have no problem with that, because that's, the gun safety starts with learning the weapon,
Yep. Right, but your first post wasn't about, the custom stock being irrelevant to what was done.
Right.
And I won't, how it doesn't apply to the law. And Harry, I'm not saying you're doing this.
And I won't post
you free staters, you know how you people are. You're always LARPing.
I'm not mad at Harry. I'm just making a point based on what Harry does to illustrate what happens all the time when people who are on the Second Amendment side.
Uh-huh.
But aren't as educated. We just get frustrated sometimes with the people who know a lot about this issue, because you guys get so uppity.
They're gun grammar Nazis. That's
Fair enough. Thank you.
Yeah. They're gun grammar Nazis, and the second they correct me, I'm a real Nazi.
Yes, that's a perfect way to put it.
Sorry, the second paragraph of your article, you wrote clip. You meant to write magazine.
Get those chambers going.
Stone Aldridge in Dear Leaders Court, our special group for those who give who subscribe $10 a month, asked, can you go more into detail about this whole not being annoying thing? How do you do that?
As an INTJ, you have no chance.
Right, you're screwed, Stone.
Take your Ritalin. Go watch some normie stuff on MTV, preferably crap reality TV, and then just smoke a bunch of pot and veg.
Stone, I love you. You're a great addition to our friend group. Okay, so now this guy had no. Let's talk about the crazy person angle. So the jihadist religious nut angle is out the window. Let's address him being a crazy nut job. Obviously, anybody who goes to this level of detail to kill other human beings and himself is a crazy nut job on some level. But he passed every background check. So universal background checks, which are like the first thing that everybody pushes for, everybody who is buying anything that shoots any bullet will have to do a background check. Currently, who gets background checks if you're buying weapons, Harry or Justin?
You want to do it?
Currently, who gets background checks?
Yep. If I go to buy a weapon and I want to buy a rifle, do I get background checked?
You would get background checked.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Even at a gun show.
Okay.
Yep. The supposed loophole is just it's private transactions between two different people. That's when they talk about that loophole.
Which is but, like saying that you need to register drug deals if
correct.
That's an effect.
But the
well,
other
we're going to start
but,
registering the marijuana drug deals.
There's a big but on this, though, okay? If you can also you cannot do that to someone also who lives out of state. You have to verify that they're in out of state. And if you feel this person is not going to do right with this gun, you feel something sketchy. You know you can go to an FFL dealer and
the ATF would take any complaint immediately and take it very seriously
and go after and if you see something like that, there's tons of this. So there's tons of this whole idea that guns aren't regulated. That's a crock of crap.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've personally have sold a weapon through an FFL dealer just to avoid the hassle.
Explain the FFL. Yeah. What is that FFL dealer?
Basically, I went through somebody who had a Class 3 FFL. They had the federal firearms license. They could deal guns legally. Mm-hmm. So they went ahead and, I had to pay a small percentage to them, but they sold a weapon for me.
It's a clearinghouse, so you don't have legal responsibility.
It was to protect myself.
Yeah. They do that background check on that other person. They call the ATF.
It's like an eBay kind of.
And it's just... And it's also like if they do something with that gun, it's that like, well, he bought that through an FFL, okay? It's okay,
So that's on them for not catching it, not the person selling it.
Correct, yeah.
So they can't sue you should that person commit a tragic.
It was basically, it was legal liability.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like, exactly. It's a clearinghouse that says, now you're absolved, we take full responsibility, and we'll do the background check.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And is it federal, though? Is it a federal registry they use? Or state level?
It's not a registry.
It's not a registry, yeah.
But, they're going to do the background check. Is it going to be federal or state?
Federal.
Federal.
So that it catches interstate commerce then?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I know a lot of the dust-ups, but Nevada's got the 12th most least restrictive laws in the country.
And it also helps if you're selling to someone who's also out of state, because you've got to be able to sell someone a gun that they can go back to their home state to.
Right.
So if you bought so you can't come over from Illinois with an Illinois license and buy a gun in Indiana and take it back to Chicago.
Yeah, you can't buy an AR-15
despite what
here.
Politicians tell you.
Yeah,
exactly. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. That's interstate commerce, so then it's federal government.
Yeah. That's why I'm able to take, like, if I'm getting on the airplane, I can take my gun here from Indianapolis, fly to Manchester, New Hampshire, and get my gun at the airport, because I'm flying somewhere my gun is legal and going somewhere where it also is still legal. I'm not. If I fly to Boston, my gun instantly becomes illegal.
That's correct.
Yeah. Or if I'm always make sure I fly direct, because I don't want to get stopped in New York or somewhere else. I can get it. Ohio's fine, but.
Well, no, you have to have advanced knowledge of where it is and isn't allowable, and you can all of a sudden find yourself detained.
Yeah, correct. And somewhere where your carry license is also reciprocal.
Right. Yeah, that's the big thing is the reciprocity exchange they have set up between states.
We've seen that happen, too, with a Pennsylvania resident went into New Jersey.
Ooh, God.
Yeah, and she was, it was a mother, wasn't it?
Yeah,
well, no gun crimes happened in New Jersey, or Illinois. Mother.
The worst one was the Marine. Did you hear about the Marine that went to New York? Had his
pistol. Yeah, yes, I did.
Yeah,
I
had his pistol in his pocket, And it's always scary because like these awful states that are, and they're right there in the middle. So it's hard. Like, so if you've got a gun and you hunt in like Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, and you're just trying to get out of that area, you have to go through all these different states that will not let you have your gun or your rifle. Yeah,
basically, you can't go through Massachusetts and New York.
All right, so
you can't have a knife like a knife longer than your thumb in Massachusetts. But back to the sorry.
So I thought that every gun is sold at a gun show. And you don't have to get a background check to do those anymore. I thought that was the argument, is that people are just buying guns at gun shows left and right without background checks, and that's where
It's a bullshit talking point.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no wait list is the thing. There's no 3-day wait, right? That's the big
thing. Whoa, no, that's an also BS because if something
But that's state specific.
No, that's ATF. The ATF feels something's fishy about you. They can't figure you out. They'll put a wait list on.
They'll put a hold on you. If I go to the gun show and try to buy it right there, they're not going to do a federal background check while I'm standing there.
Yes, they will. They
do. And they can do it in real time?
Yeah.
And so there is no issue with the wait list?
If they feel that they can't determine that you are you, or they think something's up with your background, they will put a hold on that.
Right. And so, but these were all purchased legally, which is really, so that's the real thing.
He's a millionaire with no criminal history.
No, he had one lawsuit or one citation, and that was it.
Traffic citation? Yeah, they had no case
on it. I mean, this guy basically read Robert Kiyosaki books, invested in apartment complexes, you know, got bored, started gambling, and became, you know, sort of a degenerate guy, like a Charlie Sheen in 2.5 Men. You know, it's kind of what he, like, but an older, more depressing version, and then all of a sudden does this. That's the scary element.
Yeah. You know,
really, to me.
No signs, like, well, there's...
That we know yet.
Right.
It would, because, like, the law would only stop a, you know, like, someone's like, well, if someone has psychiatric help, well, if they actually would go seek help and stuff like that, then, yeah, that would catch it. But, you know, he didn't.
He doesn't have psychiatric health issues until this event.
Right.
Exactly right. And there's no signs of it. He's in a retirement community. All of his neighbors said he was a perfectly delightful man.
Mm-hmm. He literally had no... The police had no awareness of him.
None of this follows the mass shooter playbook at all.
If he were,
that's the scariest part.
If he were a mental health, like, you've all seen the picture of the Aurora shooter with the orange hair sitting in the orange jumpsuit in the court looking like a deranged nutcase. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the age, or the South Carolina shooter with the big bug eyes.
Adam Lanza.
Like, you, those are the guys who are the mass shooters, these deranged Columbine-aged kids who are going in and doing shootings between, you know, 18 and 30. It isn't a 64-year-old man with a great financial stability, a Filipino girlfriend, and a bunch of houses, and a, you know...
Too much time on his hands.
So the background checks, that increasing background checks wouldn't have stopped this. Banning all guns wouldn't have stopped this, because he still used illegal weapons to perpetrate the crime.
They're all okay.
Yeah, those guns are all...
The modifications
were not legal in the way that he used them. They
were legal.
It was all legal.
Those are all legal. Maybe they would have had an ordinance and having those guns there in a gun-free...
It would banned in the MGM.
Correct, yeah.
Or Mandalay Bay. Mandalay Bay. You're not allowed to have... Right. Yeah. You're not allowed to have, you know, AR-15s in Mandalay Bay.
What?
Yeah, I know. Tell that
to the money team. Okay?
Exactly. That's what I mean about, like, Illinois, not, you know, guns the not being allowed team. In D.C. and in Chicago, in the greater Chicago area. Like, clearly banning guns has solved the problem.
Yeah. And they were trying to say that, like, well, the hotel should have noticed, like, all these guns in this hotel room. Like, no. I had, like, a small arsenal in a hotel room for, like, a week, and that hotel didn't know nothing.
Might I remind you that murder is illegal?
Like, yes.
Just ban murder, and this will stop all the murders.
Yeah. Well, really, it's just 64-year-old white males that are, you know,
boomers.
Everybody be quiet. I need to say this. Listen, until we get this all figured out and we stop all this madness, we need to ban boomers. And we need to get this under control, and then they can come back if we figure it out. But
what about a temporary holding cell?
I think they have to go to camp.
Villages? We'll just put chain link around the villages in Florida?
I've been warning you people about boomers. Okay, so...
We'll lure them there like a timeshare and then trap them with chain link fences.
So here's a guy who's
We'll play Jimmy Buffett and draw them all in.
Yep, in golf carts.
He just doesn't give a fuck about what the law says. He doesn't give a fuck about what regulations say. He doesn't give a fuck about any of it. And even if you had greatly limited guns or banned them, he had the means to buy them. They still would exist. And that's what the whole banning the guns argument... It's just not a rational thought. It is as stupid as saying, it is as simplistic as saying, well, let's just ban murder and then people will stop because the government says so. It's a dumb thing to say. You look like an absolute retard.
He not only did he have the means to buy these weapons, since he is a pilot, right?
Right.
He has the means to fly to Mexico.
Traffic them.
Pick up a Fast and Furious rifle.
Las Vegas. You can buy cocaine from the slappers on the street in the private room in the... Well, I won't say where.
He could pick up an Obama fast, an Obama Fast and Furious gun from Mexico, fly that back here, with a couple of other people in the back, so it paid for the trip himself, drop those people off at the airport, and hit up the the casino afterwards.
Well, that's what I mean. Is that ban? No matter what you did, even if you took away his income, if someone went, Justin, somebody who wanted to be in law enforcement, what can you do as a law enforcement officer, or policing agency, or as a legislator if someone really wants to kill somebody?
Absolutely nothing.
Just continue to follow them and hound them.
But then you have to be aware of them. Don't want a police, an Orwellian police state where we're all tracked all the time.
No. In a specific case, if you have probable cause, then you could track them. But there's
not this guy, though.
There's nothing leading up to this that there would have been any probable cause to follow this guy.
Haters going to hate, killers going to kill.
And like with Jack Ruby, in that kind of thing, if someone really wants someone dead, and like with JFK and that type of thing, they will find a way to get to somebody. Someone will grease somebody's hand with a $100 bill and get in a room they shouldn't be in and handle it.
I mean, yeah. Jack Ruby, there may have been other circumstances.
But that's what I mean. Example. Is like he got in there and shouldn't.
Right.
Somehow, some way, some influence will take care of the issue if there's a big enough vendetta. If you really want to kill someone enough and you pissed off the wrong people, there's nothing the greatest law enforcement agency on earth could do.
Right. The other thing is, this was very indiscriminate. He was firing into ground that he didn't know any people, and it was an outdoor venue on the ground. He could have done the same thing with a truck, like the London incident. He just got in the truck and just drove through the crowd.
He had the fertilizer bomb in his car. Mm-hmm. He had Tannerite in one of his homes.
What is Tannerite?
A fun weekend.
A fun week, yeah. Shoot and blow shit up. That's what. Yeah.
It's this really cool craptacular explosive.
It's a putty explosive brick
that you can buy. You can buy this online, but you need you have to hit it something hard and for it to explode. So like a bullet, and it will explode.
Okay,
it's military. Use. And then it's for digging out tunnels. Like it was primarily it was like TNT originally.
Yeah, but a military wouldn't use Tannerite.
They'd use C4.
Yeah, which C4 is basically tinitrotoluene mixed with a different type of clay, mixed with a different chemical that will stabilize it, so it would only go off with a electrical charge.
Right, and so C4, this Tannerite's just basically the working man's or poor man's. C4.
Yeah, if you need to do it,
and you need it though, but you have to hit instead of the initiation being an electrical signal, it is a basically a mass friction event or a very
being struck by something.
Yeah, being
like
struck
a hammer.
By something.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like I know what I'm putting in Bittner's car, right under the tires.
I'm just putting in sugar.
Right. his gas tank, his mouth, his anus, everything.
We're gonna see if this thing runs on. On some good old-fashioned sugar.
Right.
But sugar cane.
So he's just...
It's the scariest thing to me because it doesn't fit any pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely random event. It's from a guy that you would just see sitting alone. He'd be like Tad Western in 30 years.
Well,
sitting at the Coachman bar in a Florida or a Hawaiian shirt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nursing a beer.
New Balance shoes.
Yep. He'd gotten rich off the ranch, so he's just, managing the sales of his mixtapes.
Spends.
And then for whatever reason.
Loves gambling, loves horse.
Right. Has some Filipino girlfriend that's 30 years younger that he's wiring $100,000 to 2 weeks before. Always promised her trips to Vegas.
Right.
And Tad is no threat to anybody.
Right.
Except
nobody
the horses
would,
on the ranch.
Nobody would suspect Tad of being a domestic terrorist.
And that's what's so scary, though.
Right.
We all know this guy. We all have seen this guy sitting at the local watering hole alone.
Yeah.
At the Chili's on a Wednesday mm-hmm. night, getting a little inappropriate with the waitress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's a little mm-hmm. rough looking, and he doesn't seem to care.
No, he's just a lonely fellow who looks a little weird, but
her to go take her to Vegas
right.
for her 21st birthday.
Exactly right.
He's that guy.
Guy that picks up someone's tab, just keep partying with me, I'm calling a limo.
You're my friend.
We're going to another bar. I'm like, what? Okay, let's do this.
Right.
We've been there.
He doesn't seem political. There's absolutely no word from anybody in his life that can even nail down what his political ideology is.
He's a registered Democrat, right, in one state, and then Republican in Nevada.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a rumor about that. Yeah. He's going to get two different
But votes. That's like Martin Luther King Jr. was a registered Republican because that's all you could register through. That was the easiest way to get registered based on it.
Well, he wasn't going to register as a Democrat because in his area, those were the ones who were hanging people. So,
well, that's what I mean, though. It's not like registration determines party.
Right.
It's a lot of times a convenience thing.
So yeah. He's yeah. His
just so you can vote.
Yeah.
What, another weird aspect of this, a serial bank robber who ended up on the his father, Benjamin Hoskins Paddock, a serial bank robber who ended up on the FBI most wanted list back in 69 when he escaped from federal prison in Texas while serving a 20-year sentence. FBI kept him on the list for the next 8 years. He was on the lam. He was eventually found 1 year after he was removed from the list in 78 while outside an Oregon bingo hall. The agency said that the fugitive had been diagnosed as psychopathic and also had possible suicidal tendencies. Weird history. His brother, I guess, mom was knocked up while he was on the lam, but never actually met the guy. So the dad wasn't around.
The dad was a degenerate gambler con man.
Like, right.
Got caught. The whole reason he got caught was in a con scheme, I think, like in Illinois.
Like, the only things that I can think of here, he is a closet ideologue on either the left or the right, probably the left, like the Scalise shooter, who was also out of profile, an older guy who, you know, but he was involved in politics. It was clear within the first few hours that this was a Democrat, you know, because he was spouting off all the time about liberal politics and Trump and everything, you know. But
is that confirmed?
The Scalise shooter?
Oh, the Scalise shooter.
Yeah, that guy
was a hardcore liberal. He wasn't in, you know.
He was Bernie just, bro.
Exactly. He was, right. He was just a lot cleaner and, you know, more gray than an Antifa
right.
person.
So he's just a... He's a ghost of a human being who has no seeming motive, and he's just, I think, it has everybody much more freaked out because of that, because mm-hmm. you can't blame religion, you can't blame politics.
When we don't know that the ISIS thing isn't real. Honestly, we would be shocked if it were, but it's the best lead yet.
The only thing that I can think of is that he got himself way into debt, in gambling debts. And he was forced to do something that but even then, the amount of planning that this took, and nobody seemed to have been helping him. There's no tapes of anybody helping him. It's just him. There's no, like, gambling debts that he could have been forced to do this. I mean, he
that
just...
That we know of yet. That we know. If there were, the investigation would keep those quiet.
It will... Right. Yeah. So...
But what type of weird James Bond world is that, that there's gambling debts to tell you to go shoot 59 people in
the
crowd?
At that low level.
Right. Yeah.
That's... I mean, because let's be honest. Like, yes, he's a whale, but this isn't having LeBron come in for the weekend and drop $6 million on craps. This is a guy dropping at most $100K and freaking out about it,
right?
You know, and having to dial it back a little bit,
yeah,
or dodge and evade the casino for a bit. Like, he'll get there, but this isn't a guy that deals in millions of dollars where you would have. There is no answer. Yeah. There's no clear motivation.
And generally, when ISIS does claim for something, generally they actually did do it. You know, because they've disavowed different. Crappy factions that try to say, like, oh, we're with ISIS. No, that's not us.
Yeah, like Boko Haram. Yeah. Like, no.
Ooh, no.
You guys
no.
are like Beech Grove of Islamic terrorists. We're not claiming you.
I mean, and here's the problem. The lack of motive, the lack of information starts to breed conspiracy theories.
Oh, it is just like giving a vacuum or a petri dish to a bunch of crazies. Oh, and especially the way it was so quick. I've never seen disinformation spread as fast as it was.
Yeah.
In my life.
Yeah. Yeah, even like you got into like the Facebook Live around the time the shooting was happening and just popping around Las Vegas, you could hear different people's level reports of what they saw, what they was going on, because a lot of people kept saying like there's like four shooters, I saw shooting in a lobby, stuff like that, but unconfirmed reports.
I stuck to CNN and traditional media, and I didn't pick up any of what you were telling me about, Greg.
The first tweet was from a brand new account mentioning it. Brand new, 10 followers. First, a brand new thing mentioned Michael something, and he's got a Facebook account too. And that's what shocked me is if you can go and search Las Vegas shooting, the very first person to mention it on all of Twitter was a brand new account.
Let's go creepy. To this is another creepy.
Now, that doesn't mean he didn't start one right there as a public service. It just means that it was new.
Yeah. So this is another creepy thing. Let's jump in. This is a Channel 3, and why are you huffing, Harry? What is your problem with this clip? This is a weird little thing that I think is. Interesting.
It's okay. It's just fake news.
It's not. It's Channel 3. It's the NBC affiliate in Las Vegas.
I'll take that over CNN and Washington Post on this.
Right. All right. So let's take a listen.
Yeah. So, it's not a huge step forward, but.
All right. Here we go.
One step forward.
All right. So.
Yeah, we were sheltered under and behind quite a few things as we were making
a hotel and getting there as quick as they can while the shots are being fired. Right.
News 3's Christy Wilcox at times has been moved back and forth and even at one point sheltered behind a brick wall. She is talking to a victim right now, Christy.
Yeah, we were sheltered under and behind quite a few things as we were making our way down the south of the strip because police were just, you know, pushing us down. And right here, Brianna, you were here for your 21st birthday.
Yes, that's correct.
Tell me a little bit about what you saw, what you heard.
We went back up to the room, and as soon as we reached the room from the concert venue, we just heard constant shootings. At first, we thought it was fireworks, but then it was shooting.
And then somebody said something to you to tell me about that experience.
Yeah, so there was a lady who pushed her way forward into the concert venue into the first row, and she started messing with another lady and told us that we are all going to die tonight.
Do you know why she was saying that? I mean, was this after the shots were fired? Or
it was about 45 minutes before the shots were actually fired, but then she was escorted out by security.
How does that make you feel? I mean,
it makes me feel uncomfortable, especially coming here for my 21st birthday. And
what a bullshit question, by the way. How does that make you feel? There's so much of that bullshit kind of like, how does that make you feel? Like, that is not a question, okay? If you are a major network anchor or you are a reporter and your follow-up question is, how does that make you feel? That's not journalism. That is, you're trying to get a reaction so you can get some great tape. Like, that is just, you got yourself muted. It's just like, I hate that question more than anything, but
there's a reason she works at the Las Vegas affiliate.
Well, yeah,
she's trying to get to national level and stop pushing my buttons.
Sorry, you had yourself off and you were not talking.
Nope, get it.
All right, so I thought that was a really weird thing. I don't know what that means. I don't know what newsworthiness there really is about that, but you'll probably hear a lot about that, and that's one of those little pieces of conspiracy that are around this. Greg, you found casting calls, as we always do.
They're all, I mean, let's be clear, most of these are national talent agencies that have existing contracts for whatever type of event is needed or whatever
right.
type of, you know, extras, net, you know, heavy, like even our former co-host, you know, Joe Ruiz,
mm-hmm.
he used to answer those, and it's not like those things come down. They're on a recurring basis
right.
until they are taken down due to the agreement on the website.
Right.
So they just keep posting them over and over. It's like the Craigslist ads for multi-level marketing schemes.
Right.
It works, Greg.
Yeah.
But people,
Liberty Preps.
People take these postings for cattle calls for castings in certain areas, like in Las Vegas, and then try to make that into a crowd of people that are going to be shot for a false flag. It's like a casting call in Vegas for a crowd.
Rehab happens every Sunday at the casino, the Hard Rock Hotel. Like, they pay promotional models to come and fill the pool so that people come. Mm-hmm. So, like, it isn't like that's a coincidence. Like, this is a recurring contract
right.
needed on a weekly basis.
Right. You're a hot girl in a bikini, go party at the pool, and we'll pay you $50. Yeah. That's how those pools get filled, like, with people that you see. I mean, it's not a coincidence. So
right. And then they're so vague in what they're asking for. They include everything. Like, Donald Trump's announcement ceremony was filled with for-hire crowd organization. So, I mean, like, it's not like it's beyond the scope that every casino in Vegas would use this exact company.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was irritated all day yesterday.
What was really getting to you?
Well, first, I think it was overwhelming on an emotional level. I was watching, I woke up, and it was the first tragedy that I woke up, I looked at my phone, and I went, oh, Jesus. I mean, I was genuinely flabbergasted. I'm a news junkie. Not much moves me, but this really, like, wow. Immediately turned on CNN, started watching it, and I just was like, what is going on here? I mean, it was hard to get your head around. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in the afternoon, the stories start to really roll in of people who were lost and how they were lost. And I was watching the press conference with the White House spokesperson, and she broke up at one point. Reporters were breaking up, and I'm an emotional person, so when I see people choke up, I choke up too. And then I went and read the story about the married couple. They've been married a year. They went to this concert. They flew out to the concert. He ended up shielding himself to save his wife, and I was in a Chili's eating lunch, and I lost it. Like, I didn't lose it. I didn't ugly cry, but I definitely teared up as I was eating.
Well, how could you not?
It's so moving. And then the responses that morning of just watching people just shield each other and the heroism, the true heroism. I mean, like, I saw a reporter on CNN yesterday. This lady was giving blood at, like, 7 p.m. that night. And the reporter was like, thank you so much. You're a hero. And I'm like, the fuck she is. She's giving blood. That's not a hero. Okay, we use the word hero way too often in this country. You're not a hero. The people who are shielding their bodies, shielding their wives with their body to save their life, those are heroes. Those people who are running, like there was a young African-American kid, a black kid with a patch on his shoulder. He had been shot in the shoulder. He had gotten his family to safety, and then he started running after a group of girls who were stuck in the middle of the firing lines, got shot in the shoulder. That bullet's going to be there forever. He's permanently scarred trying to save the lives of other people. That's a hero. And then you get so pissed at this motherfucker who goes up and just starts shooting innocent people for what reason? There's no reason for it. Even if we had a motive, there still wouldn't be a reason for it. It's like, what kind of monster does this? Who puts this much time and effort into such a demonic act? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And then you get on Facebook, and you see these selfish motherfuckers trying to force their stupid political narrative into a tragedy to emotionally manipulate people, good people who are on Facebook and who are watching this grieving. And then they have to deal with manipulation from fucking liberals who want to use a tragedy to try and manipulate people into a bullshit narrative that wouldn't have prevented this tragedy anyways. They're using people's ignorance, their own ignorance is using other people's ignorance to be more ignorant. And it just gets so frustrating and pisses me off so much because it's like watching a political movie. I get pissed off because I know too much about it. It's like a doctor watching ER, and I just watch this and I go, "You are just you are not a good person." If you took the opportunity yesterday to post about gun control, because you're using a situation, the tragedy of these people lying in a parking lot, people who are trying to have a fun time with their friends and family, and then they see other people dying around them, and then you are using that to push your personal political narrative because you feel like you're being some fucking brave hero getting online and talking about gun control when you have never fired a gun, you don't know shit about guns, you have no idea how public policy works, your platitudes about banning all guns makes you look as stupid as me saying today, why don't we ban all murder? You look like a fucking idiot. And I hope that you feel bad every single night when you go to sleep for manipulating people in a time of tragedy because you're a bad person. And I hope that you delete your status and then your Facebook account and self-abort. So that's why I was pissed off, Greg.
I second. Can I get an aye? Can we pass this as legislation?
Right.
Liberals should self-abort.
Right.
If you're they're pro-choice, they should self-abort and prove how pure they are.
Right. It just, you know, and the right does it too. Like, the first thing, it's like 17 of my Facebook friends, oh, we got to ban the fucking Muslims. Like, you don't know shit. You don't know anything about anything. We don't even know now, 48 hours later, anything about this guy. We don't know anything about the case. We don't know anything. You're not a fucking expert in criminology. You don't know shit. Shut up.
Yeah, the case isn't done.
Las Vegas is a sanctuary city.
And let's be clear.
Right. Shut up.
Yeah.
Abort yourself too. Yeah. Leave the rest of us alone in the middle of your insane mm-hmm. bullshit. Shut the fuck up and give the rest of us a moment to grieve and a little bit of peace. Because I'm so tired of logging onto my Facebook and seeing these fucking retards. I'm so over it. I'm done with it.
No, it's...
Go look at our Facebook page.
Oh, no.
That's ground zero. If you like our Facebook page, you should unlike it because they're the first to get sent to camps when I'm in charge.
I tried to bring humor to it yesterday with the penis jokes, but nobody bit on it.
It was just too soon.
Our Facebook group, amazing.
Yeah, the group.
Our Facebook page of 85,000 people, retards.
It's the people that like all libertarian or whatever that crap is, or being a libertarian.
Being a libertarian, yeah.
Some Never Never Land fantasy fiction. Right. I don't know. You know, they go LARP and pretend that they're shape-shifting interdimensional child molesters up in, with Daryl Perry.
Right.
So, sorry, Harry. But no, those are the people that are so used to just being pandered to. The second you introduce anything that is, even if you talk about, like, kind of what Harry and I talked about today, I can't say that a gun law, either way, has more strict gun laws have prevented a school shooting. Like, if we had a true free market, mm-hmm. and I didn't sell to children, or I chose to sell to children, I couldn't conclusively point to this and say there wasn't a school shooting because we decided not to sell to children. And that's, or I couldn't say that it wouldn't happen anyway, because the child wouldn't find one and break into a parent's, safe. And so the whole point is, libertarians are so used to being able to prove beyond any and all a reasonable doubt that all laws are bad. Even if you take a second to just consider the broken window fallacy, with laws and police, when they're effective, the effects are unseen.
Right.
They've done a good job when you don't see the work, public safety, when they catch a terrorist, when they catch a guy that has a underwear bomb on Detroit on Christmas Day, when those types of things are discovered, that's when no one celebrates that. No one celebrates the TSA when it's done its job effectively. And I'm not saying that these things wouldn't happen either, because I assume that all libertarians do, people are mostly good, and rogue actors do rogue things regardless of laws. That's the side I come down on. But I'm not so arrogant as to say I might be wrong. And the second you even open it up to criticism among libertarians, the hardcore big L's, it's like you've said the Pope was fake news.
Yep.
The Holy Roman Emperor Sarwak, you challenged his orthodoxy and you're excommunicated, and there's a second papacy over at We're Libertarians and Dear Leader.
Yeah.
We're the real one.
Well, the TSA has never discovered a terrorist attack, and the shoe bomber and the underwear bomber, they were on the plane and blew up themselves up and basically burned it. Everyone pounded on them.
Right.
Wasn't stuff like that. But a lot of the laws that would have stopped crime and stuff like that, I see most of those are... Each one of those would have just been done with by someone else, like a different actor in that situation. The law didn't stop it. Everyone knows murder is wrong, and people would have stopped it anyways.
This guy, if he couldn't have gotten a hotel room that weekend, he'd have waited for the next one. He'd have waited for the CMAs. He'd have waited for something else. Yeah. He was, that's what we think.
He started really buying guns, they think, around the time the Jason Aldean Route 91 concert was announced in February. That's really when he started to pick up steam on buying weapons. I mean, this is that far premeditated, that which means he's not a nut. There's some sort of
fuel that drove this.
This is like he's got a terminal illness, and so he was a nobody in life, and so now he's going to be known throughout history as the worst of all the human animals. Like, right. There's just no sense to it whatsoever.
And that's the scary part. And since there aren't any details, one, you can't compromise an investigation, so law enforcement's hamstrung. And let's be clear, Las Vegas PD don't deal in petty drug, trafficking. Like, they don't... These people... Las Vegas started as the mob.
Right.
I mean, to think that that isn't still sort of an outlaw ethic, they don't care about the guy dealing pot on the street corner. They care about catching human trafficking.
Right.
Which you can still get in Las Vegas, yeah, if you're a high enough roller.
Yeah.
So no law. The mob's it's lawlessness if you have the right income level.
It's still run by the mob. It's just different clothing.
Right. They've incorporated.
Yeah, they're official now.
Right. Yeah, they wear suits. Right. It's sort of like Godfather. Robert Duvall's the head of it now, not mm-hmm. Al Pacino.
Yep. Different now. We're more official. We got
licenses now. We can do this.
Precisely.
Yeah. We have forms.
Exactly. And so that's the case. And so they're going to do a comprehensive investigation in coordination with the FBI and whatever governmental agencies are necessary. It's just in that vacuum of no information, it immediately gets politicized, which pisses everybody off.
Right.
Because nobody wants to shoot anyone worse than me when I see a liberal talking about gun control in the midst of a, thing.
Yeah.
I feel like duels need to be brought back on days following the attack.
You want to go halvesies?
Yes. I know some liberals I would have challenged to a duel on Monday. Yep. But... the other thing, too, is that conservatives have to balance it and not immediately talk about how the entire Constitution is just words on paper outside the Second Amendment in the midst of a tragedy. You just got to have the social awareness to hold back. Because ultimately, anyone who speaks out loses.
Right.
Yeah. You look like a moron.
Right.
And then in this case, you can't force an investigation to be compromised so that the fake news doesn't ratchet up and, you get a whole bunch of blog sensationalism and edited videos on YouTube and on poll that end up going viral, because that just feeds the narrative of, lack of trust. Because once you get lack of trust in the very people conducting the investigation, why the hell would you accept the results of the investigation? Mm-hmm. And it's not like they have a great track record, like on the Warren Commission.
I would say a majority of people aren't going to accept whatever they give us.
And it could be true, but because this window of no concrete results happened, it doesn't even matter, which is crazy.
Go ahead here.
I don't think so. I think it's because it's so tight-lipped through Las Vegas. Every piece of information that Las Vegas PD has put out has been concrete fact information.
Yes, it's just that it is...
And it's taking a while because they want to make sure they've got it right. And that's how every investigation takes.
But they're not going to open up the investigation and say, well, yes, we did look at that Twitter video by Dan Bilzerian that looks like there's a flashing light on a lower level. They're not going to take the time to explain the process they went through. They're just going to publish the results.
Correct. Yeah.
That's where the disinformation comes in.
Yeah, they're going to hide it in a book.
Yeah, they
don't want to read. They'll just comment on.
I have to say, watching all the press conferences and the task of this and the strain that it put on the city services.
The amount of evidence to collect is enormous.
The bodies in the coroner. I mean, the coroner said yesterday, he said, no, we weren't overtaxed. Like, they were prepared for this amount of carnage, which is unreal to me. They had people still in the parking lot yesterday afternoon on the ground, and as they were going through the crime scene, they were very cognizant of making sure that every single piece of this was done right and examined properly. This is how every single one of these things should be handled. Everything is very clear. They've been very clear. There's not a lot of questions out there still, but there's not a lot of information.
There's just no motive, and that's driving everyone crazy.
That's driving everyone nuts.
Because you try to project onto it whatever your side is.
Right. So the passionate non sequiturs of the gun debate. This was a great article by Rich Lowry. You won't hear me say that often, but it's that we're sharing on the Facebook page tonight, and I would encourage you to share this. But I've got a better article if you're only going to share one. The passionate non sequiturs of the gun debate by Rich Lowry, and I'm only going to read one paragraph from this because I thought it was good. The problem is that something, namely all the usual gun control proposals, isn't well suited to stopping mass shootings, but liberal politicians never let the inapplicability of their proposals stop them. The passion with which they advocate for new gun control measures is inversely related to their prospective efficacy. Now, for those of you like me who don't have college degrees, what that means is, they're very passionate for things that don't work, and so people buy it. And you get Jimmy Kimmel crying on national TV about gun deaths, and we've got to do something, and Stephen Colbert saying, we can do something. The answer can't be no response. And people just have trouble accepting that this just happens. You are not guaranteed to leave your house and come home at the end of the night. You're not guaranteed to live through the day, and that the government, your mommy, can't stop even the worst tragedies from happening. It seems like there should be a way for it to happen, but you just can't. There's nothing that is going to...
The amount of personal liberty you'd have to give up to prevent this would be staying in a blocked prison cell your entire life and never leaving.
You would have to have every bag searched, going into every hotel.
You couldn't even go if you really wanted absolute security.
You already had gun detectors or metal detectors and pat downs yesterday going into the concert. Every hotel is now going to treat it like an airplane, and we're going to think about the amount of people, 300 rooms in a hotel. Here, there's probably 1,000 hotel rooms around me right now, and they're probably half to three quarters full.
And no matter how great the surveillance state is, it just, it's already looking for, predictive signs. So it's going to focus on the things, and this is just, there aren't any signs.
And the left wants to make this outrageous. They've seized today on Bill O'Reilly, who said this is the price of living in a free society. And they've seized on that, saying what a monster he is. Because he doesn't buy into gun control, what a monster Bill O'Reilly is.
I agreed with what he said, to be honest.
Well, you're wearing a shirt with bullet shit.
That's very callous and cold-hearted of you. How could you agree with him, Justin?
I mean, look, he probably shouldn't have said it as soon as he did, but I mean...
The timing was wrong.
Yeah,
it was like timing, Gilbert Gottfried doing 9/11 joke.
He's not wrong.
No, he's absolutely right.
Bill O'Reilly's right. Not wrong, and I can't stand
But when
the
he
guy,
said
but...
it was insensitive and is counterproductive to what he's trying to accomplish.
He said it literally 6 hours after the tragedy.
That's the problem I have with what he said is the timing of it.
Yeah, time and place are what matters.
Take a fucking day. Just
couldn't even
day.
Let the rigor mortis set in.
Right.
They're still literally conducting the investigation now. Let the investigation, right. Let it get cleared out on Las Vegas Avenue or, Route 91.
Right.
And that's the thing is people just, they immediately try, and like with Bill O'Reilly, I get it. He's, he lost his show. He lost a lot of his following. He's lost his relevance. So he needed to get back in the, into the fray. And this is probably intentional.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest.
So I wanted to bring another article to your attention. This is a fantastic article in the Washington Post today. In the opinion section, by a woman named Leah Libresco, Libresco, and she is a former writer at 538, Nate Silver's website.
Least accurate predictive models in voting since 2016.
Still an amazing website with a ton of great information.
He just was wrong like everybody else.
Right, and so what? He was closer than all the other wrong people at being wrong, is the way that I'll stick up for Nate Silver, because I really do like their podcast and website. And what
they're quants and really great statisticians.
Right, and so what they try to do is they take all the data and try to make sense of politics today in data. And it can be a really informative, interesting website. And so she worked there, and she wrote this article called "I Used to Think Gun Control Was the Answer. My Research Told Me Otherwise." And she said that her colleagues at 538 and she spent 3 months analyzing all 33,000 lives ended by guns each year in the U.S., and I wound up frustrated in a whole new way because previously she was frustrated that something wasn't being done. And so she started looking into it, and she researched the strictly tightened gun laws in Britain and Australia and concluded that they didn't prove much about what America's policy should be, and neither nation experienced drops in mass shootings or other gun-related crime that could be attributed to their buybacks and bans. Mass shootings were too rare in Australia for their absence after the buyback program to be a clear evidence of progress. So essentially what Australia did a few years ago, they said, we're going to buy your guns. We will give you money for your guns, and we're going to ban guns, and we're not going to stiff you on that cash. Since we're passing the law, we'll pay you for your guns.
It's like kind of like eminent domain for weapons.
Exactly. And in both Australia and Britain, the gun restrictions had an ambiguous effect on other gun-related crimes or deaths. When I looked at other oft-praised policies, I found that no gun owner walks into a store to buy an assault weapon. It's an invented classification that any semi-automatic that has two or more features, such as a bayonet mount, a rocket-propelled grenade launcher mount, a folding stick or pistol grip, but guns are modular and any hobbyist can easily add these features at home, just as if they were Legos. As for silencers, let's pay attention to Hillary Clinton, who decided to use just to be a decent human being in thoughts and prayers like the rest of us, took the moment to shit on silencers and say this bill's moving through.
Well, she has Kuru disease. Can you really blame her?
As for silencers, they deserve that name only in movies where they are the pew pew. In real life, silencers limit hearing damage for sure. They limit hearing danger.
This is what, 10 to 15 decibels?
Yeah, right. That it brings it down to, yeah.
And especially
for hearing deaf, so you don't go deaf.
You're still going to use hearing protection.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. An AR-15 with a silencer is as loud as a jackhammer. Magazine limits were a little more promising, but practice, a shooter could still change magazines so fast as to make the limits on those magazines meaningless. So they kept looking. They kept searching. They couldn't believe that this was true. They couldn't believe that their worldview was crumbling in front of them as they started to actually do research into the topic and figure something out. And what they found is that 2/3 of gun deaths in the United States every year are suicides. Almost no proposed restriction would make it meaningfully harder for people with guns on hand to use them. And people let's be honest, would find a way to kill themselves with something else.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even answer my most desperate question. If I had a friend who had a gun in his home and a history of suicide attempts, was there anything I could do that would help? The next largest set of gun deaths, 1 in 5, were young men aged 15 to 34 killed in homicides. Harry, Justin, would you like to take a guess how those men 15 to 34 died? What were they involved in that might have gotten them killed?
Gang or drug activity.
Not church group, yeah.
Exactly. They weren't on the stock exchange trading bonds and stocks. They were doing drugs. And you know why they have such a violent community amongst themselves that causes their death?
Drug war.
Thank you. So, mental health and end the drug war.
Yep.
The third subset was 1,700 women murdered per year, usually the result of domestic violence. And I can tell you, again, those guys are going to kill with a baseball bat or whatever way they're going to kill. If people want to kill another person, they're going to kill another person, or they're going to kill themselves. It doesn't matter the tool. The underlying reason the tool is being used needs to be addressed.
Yep.
And it means allowing access to mental health in greater numbers and insurance, having a conversation in mental health, how about we fix the healthcare system? How about we end the drug war? Mm-hmm. Instead of arguing over something that is a goddamn constitutional right that the court says that every person is allowed to protect themselves with, because the government might become tyrannical and you need these weapons to fight a tyrannical government, that's why it's there.
Just to scare them a little bit.
It's
a warning shot.
That's about it. Yeah.
It's not the tool. It's the intent of the use of the tool that is the problem, guys. Justin, what do you got to say about that?
Get off my mic.
I can't.
Sorry, my cat is controlling Harry's mic with its ass.
I agree with everything you just said. I have no rebuttal or...
Yeah.
It's a tool. It's simply a tool.
If you've listened to episode one... What is Amanda's story? Go back into Amanda's story. I think it's 140, 141, yeah. 142. And so older men who make up the largest share of gun suicides, Didn't we have an older man who just committed suicide by cop?
He shot himself. He was dead before the police arrived.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, this guy wanted to die. Need better access to people who could care for them and get help. Women endangered by specific men need to be prioritized by the police and enforce restraining orders prohibiting these men from buying and owning guns.
And none of that would have been anything about this.
My friend, he could have bought a gun at any point through the process, even with a protective order against him, because of my friend. He could have bought a gun at any moment. There was nothing stopping him. I mean, So younger men at risk of violence need to be identified before they can take a life or lose theirs and be connected to mentors like Rupert at Rupert's Kids who can help them de-escalate. So it is what you are being fed by these pro-gun control grammar Nazis is bullshit. They're trying to build a bigger
state.
They
cherry-pick stats. Like, they use stats like a Missouri study where they found that if you made a slight adjustment to the... what was it, the Brady? They made a slight adjustment, or they reduced restrictions on guns in Missouri in a 2007 survey and found that the homicide deaths jumped 25%. So, yes, I can cherry pick one study, one time, in one location that already has a pre-existing high amount and pick the year where there was a lull, fund a study, and make sure that I publish those results and get them out there to try and spearhead an effort for gun control.
Yeah.
Then I can be like Vox, and Vox took this huge, big study about all different countries, global study of gun control effectiveness. Now, they make the headline. Study shows gun control can actually have an effect in stopping mass casualties. Then you read the story, and the author makes it specifically clear it is against his will that you would use this data in that way, because there is no way to compare Australia to the United States. There are more guns than people. There is an entirely different cultural ethic and mind worldview toward guns. There is a history, you know, Australia's they're a bunch of criminals anyway. No wonder if you took the guns away from the criminals in the United States, there'd be a drop in gun deaths too. Australia's founded as a penal colony. They're criminals. All right, all right. Take their guns away.
Right.
You know, like, but there's no way to compare to studies this way, and the debates devolve into research methodologies, and then you're nowhere.
The gun deaths still happen in Australia.
Yeah.
Knife attacks are huge. They're having people getting attacked by machetes. So, like, it, you know, that person who's 6 foot tall with a, you know, 200-pound, like, heavyweight. You
with
know,
a gator skin.
Which is way scarier of a visual graphic on TV.
With a gator skin hat, and he's just sitting there going, you call that a knife?
Yeah.
This is a knife.
Which is, like, that is awful. Okay. Because, you know, so... the other thing, another point I wanted to do with is domestic violence. Granted, you know, Greg, you used the male gender, but domestic violence and people doing that, that's not a gendered issue. It could go for both freaking genders. Just want to get that out there. And the other thing was men's mental health. That is huge here in the United States, actually all around the world, that men are seen as expendable. Our mental health is not looked at. No one really cares about men's mental health. This is the main thing that a lot of people go after, things that are meant for, like, men to have men. Basically, like the man cave in people's houses. Right, that's like, to be perfectly honest, it's a man's safe space, right? And even that gets attacked, but it's just a space that, like, a man can call his own. And that whole, like, but men mental health actually going out there, most insurance companies don't care, most health things don't care about how, like, men basically feel. Men have emotions, absolutely, whether regardless they have it or not. And the biggest thing that affects, like, young men, especially the age group that listen to this podcast, is just the simple fact of being alone. That's why I love the Discord channel, because men don't need to be alone. Men need community. Men need to go hang out with each other. If you've got that buddy on your friends list and you haven't talked to him in a few months, dude, hit that guy up. Guess what? He's probably sitting at home watching TV by himself, you know, and he's too scared to make the reach out. So, like, you know, do the libertarian thing and just reach out to an old buddy that you haven't talked to a while. Have a beer. Drink some Dasani sparkling with him. Go play games with an old buddy.
Don't do that. You know? That will make sure that the invitation is declined.
Go out, hang out, you know, hang out with a buddy. You know, that helps out so much for men's mental health. Find out what they're going out about, and, you know, like, try to care about men's problems. Most men, you know, they suck it up and keep going. I knew a guy who had a busted hip, and he worked 5 years on a busted hip. He just kept drinking. He was just drinking NyQuil and coffee like it was going out of style, and he kept working with his busted hip.
Yeah, I've been a huge advocate for this since I had my own struggles. I mean, I've been very open about this on the podcast. You know, my wife left in mid-podcast in early 2014 in February. You can go back and listen to that episode where Gina, Greg, and I are talking, and then all of a sudden it was February 2013. And was it? No, it was 2014. Yeah, it was February 2014, and, like, all of a sudden I just get real quiet, and that's because she's packing her shit up. Greg watched my ex-wife walk out of the house.
I mean, I met her. I wasn't going to stop her.
Exactly. we're good.
I mean, I know it's difficult, and she's a great person now, but it was one of those things, you know, you can't make a jigsaw puzzle fit when it isn't, you know, set to fit well.
Listen, divorce is the best thing that's ever happened to me. She's very happy. She's remarried. It's all good. We're good friends now. But it pushed me down a road of self-discovery, and I had to be courageous in asking for help, and I still am. I'm constantly sitting going, listen, I'm a fat fuck. I need a personal trainer. I don't know what I'm doing. I need help at work. I don't know what I'm doing. I need this. You know, you have to do things for yourself that make your life better. You have to care, reach out. If you're a man, and most of our listeners are men, we love our ladies. Listen, you all know, no one loves ladies more than Dear Leader does. But the majority of our listeners are men, and I desperately want you to take good care of yourself and start paying attention to your emotional life, because it is incredibly important. You cannot be a man, and we talk a lot about on the show being an alpha or masculinity in joking ways, but you cannot be – you can have your physical being, your spiritual being, your work life, your family life, and everything great – and still be emotionally backwards and emotionally stunted. You have to. I'm trying so hard to get through this because you guys are.
They're sharing memes.
Sharing memes.
Well, I mean, the question. You know, what's the hardest thing about this is there isn't enough information to give an accurate commentary.
So there's some books like Game Plan, A Man's Guide to Achieving Emotional Fitness. I think it's To Be a Man by Robert Augustus Masters. There books like these that are really like geared towards men and helping men figure their shit out in every area of their life. You've got to do it. You've got to go to therapy, and you've got to say to your wife, to your spouse, to your friends, to your boss, to whomever, I'm going through some shit, and I've got to work through this, and I've got to go to therapy, or I need to talk to you about this. My marriage ended because I was too afraid to let her see my true self, and I was too emotionally backwards to admit that I didn't know how to do that, and that I needed help to do that. Now, she wasn't the one that was going to be able to help me, sadly. But there were people in my life that did push me that way. Greg has been a great help in that way. And your emotional fitness and your emotional life is as important as your financial life, your work life, your family life, your physical life. You know, you gotta
balance all your plates.
Everybody's fucked up in some way.
Yep.
Yep. Your mic's off, Harry. I'm gonna take that button away from you if you can't do it right. I'm going to switch buttons, so you have to go like that, and you can't get it stuck. you know, just go to your local library, and look in that section, the Robert Augustus Master Book, or personally email me, editor@weareLibertarians.com. That goes only to me. And I'll send you my reading list. I've got like 30 books. It's on.
I might give you an inspirational Hitler meme to cheer you up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Greg won't
some
be
inspiration.
Much.
No, I like The Art of Manliness. I think it does a lot of those things.
Great podcast. I mean, Stoicism is a great structure to follow. ChrisSpangle.com. I've got my 30 books to heal yourself emotionally on the second page of that. I mean, then that's the list that I'll send you if you hit me up. I mean, so many beta males are sitting out there and just playing video games, watching sports, ignoring their family life, ignoring the things that are keeping them from being successful. There's been so many points where I've thought about killing this podcast because it's been good for me. It's like, I'm gonna do the thing that is bad for me because I'm self-destructive right now. You know, you've got to find those self-destructive points and turn it around. Because if you don't, you're gonna be a 64-year-old fucking maniac on top of the Luxor Tower, shooting up and killing 75 people, or you're gonna be divorced and sitting at the Coachman by yourself on a Friday night,
lassoing young lady friends
exactly
on trips to Vegas in your Hawaiian shirt.
Hello, doll. You know,
video games are not bad.
In moderation, Harry, is my point.
Everything's in moderation. Video games has taken over to like being like almost a modern novel. A lot of different video games have an incredible different stories. Instead of sitting down and reading a fictional story, they will play a video game.
Grand Theft Auto has saved me from road rage. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, you know, it's
don't. I'm saying everything in moderation. I'm fat because I don't know that when it comes to food. I ate stacked pickle today when I should have had a salad. I get it.
Another not stacked pickle invite.
You cannot sit there and tell me that there isn't a large segment of the people in our generation who use video games as an escape from their own life.
True, true. Some people do that, but some people do that with everything. The reason I bring it up and came at you at it because you have a horrible history of going after video gamers.
Because I think that it's generally, it is
an opiate of the masses.
It is.
So are fictional books,
of course. But
there's tons of different lady listeners who probably sit there and read all those, like the you know your
Star
dirty books
and Us Weekly and 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that all video games are bad or that playing video games is bad. I'm saying that it is something that I have noticed, and my female friends talk to me all the time about how they're lonely and all he does is sit in the den and play video games. Listen, I'm a gamer too, Harry. I play Mario Kart 64 at least 30 minutes a day. I get it.
That's just
it's a great escape.
First off, like men have hobbies, is what we do. We have right. different things. And if your girl is complaining that you play too many video games, then say, what else do you want to do? And you will do it. You will get up from that game system and you will do it. But if they have nothing planned, it is just a shit test and you probably need to get out of the relationship. It's a shit test. Get out of the goddamn relationship.
We need editor at We Are Libertarians. We need to bring Dear Leader back, and we need to we'll start answering your relationship problems. You have a life problem. Let us fix it for you.
Yeah, we'll fix that.
We're experts on everything. Yeah. I mean, it's go ahead, Harry.
Like me, like my wife of 14 years. You know, I remember I bought a car from the motor from the junkyard, brought it home, took it apart in the dining room, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and every
and all you're
her,
still married.
Yeah, I'm still married, and all of her friends like, you need to get rid of him. Da 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 da. And I was just like, no, we're not using the dining room. Da 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 da. And I still got that motor, and I still have her. You know, because you know. Her, cause
the chain helps.
That's a keeper.
Exactly. You know, it's like
the surveillance system you installed inside of her that sort of makes things convenient. But you know, go ahead.
Because like the other thing is like because she knew like before that motor, I was out running doing things. But I've got this motor at home. I need to finish taking apart. I got this motor at home. Right. I need to finish rebuilding.
It's like you'd rather have your kids drinking in your basement rather than out on the town drinking.
Right. You know, it's like so if I'm not sitting at home playing video games or doing stuff at the house, it's like well. One who wants to go out and go do something.
You're not going to be chatting up the bar flies at the Fort Bend Pub playing bingo.
Yep. Ah, man. Good old Fort Bend Pub. I only go there when 8-6 guys there. I have no. I forget the guy, the bartender's name. I only know him because he drives an 8-6. So, sorry.
Well, I mean, I think we've talked a lot about mental health, and I don't think even mental health would have fixed this, to be honest.
We don't know. We don't even know that yet. We don't even know that yet.
So far, we just. Yeah. That's what makes
as of right now, there's no indication that he had any mental health issues.
It's like a Batman Heath Ledger character at this point. And that's the scary part is it feels like there isn't a motive. There isn't a way to manipulate even his self-interested intentions in a way so he doesn't do this. It's purely there's not one tool we have available to stop him from doing what he decided he was going to do.
Yep.
And until we know that, it's scarier.
Yes. Oh, yeah. This is.
But
really
the majority,
scary.
Like, you know, Sandy Hook, Columbine, Dylan Roof in Charleston, you know, these are emotional. These are mental health issues. And that's something that it isn't okay to talk about. But video games, too, are now social. It's not like you're alone.
Correct.
And
yeah.
So that's why a lot of men get their socialization.
Especially on Twitch.
Without having to go to the bar for wing night.
I'm just saying there's a lot of guys out there getting real defensive about this right now. And it's because they know I'm right. And it's true.
No, they're just tired of being attacked. Like guys in video games got attacked all through Gamergate. That entire meme army is probably part of this audience who like got attacked from there for that whole stupid gamers are dead article. You know, we're here, we game, you know, and we socialize, you know. It's okay.
We're here, we're queer, we game, get used to it.
Two scoops, two games, two genders.
It's two games, just PUBG and
two players.
Listen, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with
you're
it.
You're not. You're saying don't let it become an obsession.
Everything in moderation.
Exactly.
Don't let it be what you shape your life around.
Nobody is more prone to obsessions than I am. I am an obsessive motherfucker. That's why this will work, is because I am obsessed with We Are Libertarians, and it will. I struggle so hard with my work to peel back and try and take 3 hours today to go take my niece to the park and to go get ice cream.
Unproductive time.
Unproductive. Waste of time in terms of my career, but I was investing in my family's future. I was taking some time to spend some time with the most perfect child that ever lived. She is great. But there is a huge part of me that as I'm doing that, I'm sitting there going, I should be at work. I should be researching for tonight. I should be doing this. Like, that obsessive part of me is so invested in my work, and I'm such a workaholic that I have to step back and recognize, like, those things are not healthy for me. And I think everybody has that thing in their life that you've just got to go, I got to get this under control. I am unfortunately have several of those things.
Including the squat rack lady, so, you know. He's always on the squat rack.
Listen, I'm on the squats. I'm getting good at it, though. I could walk this week. So, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that video games are bad. I'm not one of those people who thinks that it's like this misogynist, awful thing. I just think that it is something that, in terms of percentage, people are more prone to fall into that.
Well, they're designed that way.
Exactly right. It's like my phone. I am obsessed with my phone, and it's very unhealthy.
We need to think
it.
About how to gamify our podcast.
Right.
We really need to think about manipulating our audience more. That's something I've been wanting to talk to you about. Right.
The Discord chat has a leveling system.
Okay. There's a few people in there that I'm going to dislevel. Let me tell you.
We've already
there.
Teared up the podcast.
How can
next we have to start rewarding badges, and every time we do that, I get in trouble for Hitler.
How can people get into the Discord chat? Many people want to know.
I have left links inside the Facebook group. I can also like tweet it at the Twitter page and the Facebook, and I'll get Chris Spangle to pin it up there, so it'll stay up there for a little longer.
All right,
cool. Usually I just post it and just keep going.
Let's do the Twitter thing. I'll pin it up on Twitter. We, the letter R, Libertarians. If you want to join the Facebook group, we'll pin it up there as well. WeAreLibertarians.com to get access to the Facebook group. I think it's just /group/WeAreLibertarians. I want to talk real briefly about what to do if you are in one of these situations. I think you and Justin would have probably some good tips. If you're in one of these situations, what can you or should you do? Like, I watched Dan Bilzerian run back to his car and get his gun and start shooting at the casino, and it's like, well, dude, you don't know where he's at.
Wrong answer.
Firing guns into people's rooms. It's like, that's not a good solution.
He's Dan Bilzerian. He gets away with it.
Is that real?
Was he really shooting?
His Instagram. He was accidentally on CNN, and they didn't know it. But Bilzerian, to me, is a hilarious character. And I was so, like, I hated his guts. Because he was toxic masculinity, and then I started following and watching him. He's hilarious, and he's doing it all tongue in cheek, and he's very much like us, I think, in terms of like he knows he's being offensive, and he knows what he's doing, but he's like winking at you while you're doing it.
The people that like him know they're in on the secret.
Exactly.
The people
right.
that hate him, he can't wait to flame the
exactly
fan the flames until they're so triggered they start. Their heads explode like Colbert over two scoops.
But here's a dude who literally is partly that way because he is on stage. The firing starts happening. He starts running. As he's running to his truck to get his gun, he's Instagram storying and Snapchatting. And I'm sure you can find it on YouTube about a girl that was next to him that got her head blown off. And like he's runs to his car, gets his gun, and starts like protecting people and like starts firing like he's like in Afghanistan. I mean, he just is a real crazy character, but so I'm thinking that is not the right thing to do, especially since I don't have a gun. But if you are in an active shooter situation, I just don't know how many of these situations where it's a crowd of 22,000 people you don't know. It's probably going to be more like offices or smaller situations. But Harry, your Tad's tip, your Harry's tip this week. It's not going to be a tech tip, and your Harry's
technical.
Harry's technical tip. Tactical tip. Harry's tactical tip for the week.
Tactical.
Joined and co-hosted by Justin Hutchinson.
Flat bill. Flat bill lives matter.
Yeah.
If I am caught in an active situation, a shooter situation, what should I do?
Definitely not shoot randomly because you are responsible for every bullet you let off. So don't do that.
Okay. So if I kill somebody, I'm even in that situation, I'm responsible.
Damage to private property or anywhere that bullet goes, that it's, you know, you're responsible for that where that bullet went, you're responsible for it.
Got it.
So don't do that.
Won't do that.
The other thing is like the tips, I like the law enforcement do it be the run, hide.
Fight.
Yeah. So yeah, the last thing you want to do is a different shoot like that because, granted, if you've never been in a two-way rifle range, getting in a gunfight, it's freaking scary. And considering that if you're at a party, you probably have a handgun on you, and this guy had a long gun, so you lose automatically because he's got a long gun, you got a handgun.
Okay. That's promising.
Long gun versus handgun, long gun win.
All right.
Now, yes, you can get someone with a handgun that has a long gun, but good freaking luck. But yeah. Sorry.
With what happened in Vegas, I mean, it's so dynamic because he was so far away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I just don't have a chance to shoot back.
This was an impossible situation. I
Correct.
Mean, somebody like a sniper like that.
And a lot of situations where mass shootings were prevented by a concealed carry holder. Typically, the gun battle is going to happen within 25 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. So, aim for center mass and make sure you're looking beyond your shot, too.
Yes.
Because, like Harry said, every bullet you fire, you're responsible for. So, if you miss,
and you strike someone else, you're at fault. You're going to get charged for that, as you should be.
Yes, yeah, as you should be, yeah, yeah. The other thing is, like, a lot of the mass shooters that you said that get stopped by, like, a civilian, like a gun owner, usually when they see that gun, they stop. They run, they shoot themselves, right. Or they drop their own gun. Because a lot of them are, like, they're very cowardice.
Right.
But when you get into that type of situation, like, you've got to have that type of situational awareness. Now, and I'm talking about, like, being on that heightened situational awareness all the time. You're constantly thinking about, I'm going to be attacked here. If you do that, you will tire yourself out. So when it happens, you've spent all your willpower. You're out.
Right.
But just being knowledgeable of where you are and where the emergency exits are and how to get out of the situation where you are, that takes a few seconds in the moment you walk into a room to think about, if I had to get out of this room quickly, how can I do that?
You do that every place you go?
Yep.
Really? Yeah.
I can say honestly that I do.
Yeah.
I also have this weird thing where I can't sit with my back towards the door to a restaurant.
I do that too.
I have to watch people walk in. I cannot have my back towards the door.
I never, ever leave myself like a blind spot. If I'm in a restaurant.
Absolutely. I can't do it.
It came from a movie. I forget what movie
it was. I get anxiety. If I've been put in that situation, I'm like, I can't see.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't see here. I don't like this
one. We've got to move tables. So.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can see that. But, like, just knowing where exits are and how to get out of that place, because if something does happen, because the likelihood of an active shooter event happening is very, very small. That knowing where the exits are, that will help you in a earthquake, fire, or other type of disasters that are possibly more likely. It's more likely that you'll be at the mall and a fire breaks out because new 14-year-old on the grill than an active shooter event.
Sure.
Just by statistically speaking. And it's always better to run and get out of the way because even if you do stop to attack, like I said, if you just see someone with a gun and you immediately stop shooting, that could also be someone try to respond to that shooting event. So pulling out your gun, sometimes it could be, you know, the wrong answer, especially if you don't know this is the person actively shooting and you don't know who you're shooting at, you know?
Right.
You know, it could be an undercover officer shooting at someone else. You don't know. There's tons of different unknowns. So it's better just to run and get away from the situation as fast as you can.
Okay.
If you can't run, you can't get out of the situation, you know, hide, find somewhere where you can get, where you can't get to, make sure your phone is off. You know, you don't want to get iMessages or Snapchats or an update because the podcast just downloaded. Hey, you know, new wall podcast just downloaded.
Right.
While you're in that middle of that shooting event. And you know, if it comes down to it, get ready to fight and you look at different improvised weapons too, that you can use, like, my favorites are sticks, thrown objects, and understanding the difference between concealment and cover will also help you in these type of situations.
What does that mean?
Most people who play D&D, they understand the difference. concealment.
You and your pro video game propaganda.
This is tabletop gaming. Thank you.
I know. I just wanted to try and trigger you more.
Anyways, starter pack over there. If concealment is something that just hides your presence. So that's good because you get out of sight. They can't really see you. So like drywall, this table. Your car is concealment. Your car is not cover.
Right.
Granted, your motor might be able to stop most firearms, but that's just it's they hit the motor and not anything else around your motor.
You better hope they're not packing green tips.
Yeah.
You don't want green tips.
You know, so your car will get lit up like it's cheese. And if you're thinking, well, he's got a handgun. Yeah, most handgun ammo goes right through cars too. So a water cooler will stop one shot. Because of the water inside of a water cooler. A fire extinguisher, that does great. That stops a couple. But drywall, no. Stone, if it's real stone, a lot of different places you go to, they'll have that stone veneer.
That's faux
stone. That's not stopping bullets.
Right.
So when it comes to like hiding, like you really want to be like hidden, completely out of sight, complete concealment, and try to find some cover. And that's why running and getting out of there and getting away from the situation is one of the better things to do. Because even if you have the situational awareness to pull out your gun and want it to fight, there could be five people out behind you that are freaking out, that does not have the situational awareness, and they're just sitting there. So that guy is turning to shoot at you, and you getting ready to start this two-way rifle range. You may be able to put him down, but he's probably going to shoot those five people behind you. Because they're not running. They're panicking on the ground.
Right.
So if you have the situation that you even think about fighting, you can get those five people to safety and allow the police officers to do what they do and take that and to neutralize that threat.
Right. And there's a lot of places that offer training, you know, for active shooter mm-hmm. with your own firearm. And, you know, I'd suggest for all the wall listeners to look those up. And mm-hmm. I mean, they're kind of pricey, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's fun. You get to mm-hmm. take 600 rounds to a shooting range. They run you through all these drills, and you can learn something. And I've found them to be very, very good learning experiences.
And goofy mistakes that if you would have made, you would have got shot.
Yeah, well, yeah, we all have bad habits that we don't know about until a professional teaches us too. So we got that. But you know,
when they tried to go around that corner. Oh, you would have got shot. What?
Most people, even law enforcement, I don't think anybody's really prepared to deal with people running around, you know, in an extreme panic while someone's shooting. I mean, that's mm-hmm. an extremely fluid situation.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, look at this situation. People weren't prepared. Because you can't prepare for that.
Correct,
you cannot prepare. Nobody can prepare for what this guy put together. I mean, it wasn't conceivable.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but there are patterns, and this guy breaks patterns. He's a one-off, but, you know, like the San Bernardino office shooters, those are pattern type situations where you can really kind of learn your way how to deal with those situations.
Yeah, those people are going postal. But just like Obi-Wan Kenobi said to Anakin, I have the high ground, you know, so he has the high ground, so he's got a better shot, you know.
Right.
So he's firing from an elevated position down on somebody. So he's got you, he's raining bullets down on you. You know, you're done.
Yeah.
You can't fire back. The AR-15 he has the flash, clearly has a flash suppressor on it, which it looks to because you can't see a muzzle flash from it. And if he was using an AK-47, that flash is so huge you could see the Christmas tree light things of that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be absolutely noticeable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And if it's a machine gun, you know, like, well, or belt-fed machine gun, well, usually most people put tracers on it because it fires so fast, and I didn't see any tracer rounds. Mm.
Yeah, I would think that there'd be muzzle fire. Why wasn't there muzzle fire?
Flash suppressor.
All
right, flash suppressors don't just let over the muzzle flash so you can't see the gun shooting at you. It's mostly so if you're shooting in the dark and you fire, you're not blinded because you're looking down that sight.
Got it.
So if you take, if someone breaks into your house, you pick up your AR-15. Because this is the gun you would use to defend your house with.
Well, that's what I use.
And you're firing in that dark hallway. So that dark hallway went from complete pitch black to bright daylight for a quick second, and you are now blinded.
Right.
Now, if you missed, and that guy had sunglasses on, or he missed the flash because he ducked out of there, you're blind, he's not.
Right.
So that muzzle flash, the suppressor helps that, so you're not blinded looking down that sight. And that can even happen even in bright light because of it's literally a flash that's popping up there.
Right.
So you're not worrying about that. I use a youth shotgun because I can hold it one handed and use my phone.
I actually have the AR-15. I always think about if I had to shoot somebody with a 12 gauge in my house, at the mess I'd have to clean up. Is that wrong?
No.
No. I mean, well, you know. Cleanliness is next to godliness.
Well, that's absolutely right.
You bring a second shotgun and you give that to him so your insurance company thinks he did it. And you always drive with that $75 high point in your car. So if you do accidentally shoot someone, it's like he had a gun.
$75.
I know.
You're getting ripped off.
All right, boys.
High point is basically like an Apple of the gun world. I'm just joking.
Listen, more like a BlackBerry.
Yeah, but,
Greg,
yeah.
The more comfortable he gets, the less I like his attitude. He and I had several moments tonight where we almost fought.
Well, you know, gaming's supposed to bring people together. What you find is that radicalizes people. They self-radicalize.
I kind of like that he got so triggered. I like to see passion in our co-host.
Oh, is that a weak spot? Bing.
Gamers
are losers. Bing.
I pushed more than this button, Harry.
Stop pushing my buttons.
So, all right, let's start the final round of comments. You know the drill. Justin, you're new here, Flat Bill. We basically give you the floor, and you get to say whatever you'd like, promote whatever you'd like. And because you are a virgin here, Harry is going to show you how it is done. Harry, final thoughts for this episode.
I will. It's Harry's night.
Oh, that, yeah. You, all right.
Yeah, I'm the main co-host. I get to end the show.
I'm the help.
Yep.
final thoughts. I don't know. I really look forward to this getting fleshed out because the longer this goes the way it is at the moment, the worse it's going to be for anyone that opposes gun control. And even though there isn't any law on earth that could actually do anything to prevent this, it's just one of those times where the cards are stacked against you, you know, for the narrative, because it's so easy to hit you with the insensitivity monster card. And so I want this to get flushed out as quick as possible. So that's my main thought, is there's got to be a reason. If there's not a reason, then anyone calling for gun control does need to be reminded that there wouldn't be a law that stops a rabid dog on a leash.
Right.
Off a leash. And also, good to have Flat Bill on. Usually I'm with you and Chris Mayo, the other occasional co-host, and we're at Black Acre, offending literally everyone that sits around us until
we do
they
our
leave.
Best. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
This is like, you know, people in for some diversity.
Yep.
To have dinner on a Friday night. We're sitting there talking about how we're going to build a wall around our table and trying to offend them. So it's good to get to have you on for the first time. And
yeah, my pleasure. I was glad I could make it.
Yeah, and can't wait to have you back.
All right, Flat Bill, go ahead.
My final thoughts is, you know, I want to plead to everybody that don't buy into the left's bullshit and don't spout out about gun control on Facebook. You look like a complete asshole. So, you know, just save it. Nobody's going to come take your guns tomorrow. You know, let it play out. You know, let Las Vegas and federal officials do their job, you know, and, you know, the truth's going to come forward sooner or later. And don't buy into these damn Facebook conspiracy theories. I've yeah. seen so many already, and they're so laughable. And also with that, you know, like Harry was talking about with his tactical tips, you know, when you do go to places with large crowds, be aware.
Yeah.
You know, scan the crowd. You see anything out of place, you know, act on that. Say something. I mean, mm-hmm. I know libertarians don't like the see something, say something thing, but right. I mean, sometimes seeing something and saying something can make a difference, you know, of one person getting shot or 600.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Don't let your ideal, your dogma, your pride get in the way. Just because, listen, we would have a completely different design for government doesn't mean that you don't want to, you know, use the government that we have to try and fix the problems that we have. I mean, so see something, say something. I mean, like, it's, you know, if I heard Harry was going to go postal.
Which I'm not.
He's not. He's a very, I would trust him with my daughter. And he's, but, you know, if I heard Greg was going up to the top of the UT Tower to spray a crowd with bullets, I'd call somebody. You know what I mean? Sorry, co-host.
We got to reset his autism.
Right.
Or on a plane trip.
Malfunctioned.
Or on a plane trip somewhere.
Feel he's a danger to national security and he's on a plane. And I see something, I'll say something. And let the NSA know. Yeah. So, yeah,
all terrorists wear lacrosse.
Right. I agree with you so much. It's just like, if you feel something's out of place, say something.
Yeah.
You know, what's the worst that's going to happen? The cops are going to go and have a conversation with that person, and maybe it scares them. You know what I mean? Like, it just, so you're so right.
Yeah. Are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing I want to do is, like, be careful when you are talking to, like, don't try to get into the weeds with some of these liberals with some of their awful, terrible talking points.
Yeah.
I saw one going off about how, well, you know, the cops, FBI needs to know, like, how many guns that you do have, just like they do with fertilizer and stuff like that. They don't know how much fertilizer and stuff like that have.
Right.
People who buy large amounts of fertilizer or stuff like that, those type of bomb-making materials, they don't know. Most of those things are done by people who feel like this is not right, you know?
Right.
Why are you buying so much fertilizer? What long crew do you work for?
Yeah. Sudafed has clearly stopped meth.
You know,
right.
Yeah. But, like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, yeah. You know what it does is every 2 weeks I get inconvenienced because I have to launch my fat ass out of my car on a Friday morning to wobble into the CVS to buy my Claritin D. Assholes.
Yeah. And the other thing, the difference between bombs and guns is that guns in a holster sitting in there, a modern gun is safe as it can be.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing like a car. Car's dangerous. While it's in motion, a gun in its holster is safe.
Especially Mustangs, right, Harry?
Yeah, especially Mustangs, man. If you see a Mustang on the road, get out of the way, you know. They're starting up, leaving the car meet, get out of the way. It's a Mustang. And, like, And most of the people, if you are planning to, like, if you even plan on going to down to the gun show or buying a new gun, I think, like, next time, like, if, you know, some of us, you know, getting a new gun here in Indy, we should probably take Dear Leader to the gun show and buy a gun and show him the entire process. Show him the form that you have to fill out to go get it. Because most liberals don't know. They've never done it. So, like, showing them that.
I'm due for a new gun, by the way. Yeah, so, Chris. Yeah. Next gun show. Let's
how
go.
How many you got?
Enough. He's got enough. He's got enough and needs more.
Have you ever seen Tremors? you've got a bulldozer and an elephant gun killing prehistoric tunneling snakes.
you're not done until you have that 50 cal muzzle loader. Okay.
He cracked himself up. He just killed himself right there. He told himself a joke. Nobody else got it, but he was dying.
Yeah. Dying. Gave himself a little pat on the back and just went with it.
Maybe because I like Bert from Tremors way too much. That's my goal.
No, you are Bert from Tremors.
Goals there.
You filter your shower water.
And then, like, the people who have EDC, your everyday carry people, a lot of those people who did that stuff during that type of event, yes, it's kind of hard to get to different events. And so your everyday carry does help out. Like my backpack, my everyday carry stuff is I'm not a medic, but I'm a tech guy. I'm a comms guy. I can instantly stop, drop, and turn my laptop and all my equipment into a mobile white Wi-Fi station and start using that to, one, get people's phones attached, to get them onto an Ethernet connection so I can start knowing to get everyone back online, or even starting a server up just to basically just coordinate who's hurt and where's everybody else is at. That's what I'm good at, and that's what my EDC is. The other thing I want to go is a shout out to Blade. You know, he's the heart of the group of the Discord channel. If you get on Discord, it's really fun. We have a lot of fun there. We're playing Left 4 Dead 2 on Friday and Rocket League. If you guys want to get on, do that. Because, like I said, it's huge about community. You know, that bro that's out there, or gal, you know, because mostly. Majority, the stereotypical, like, women do hang out with their friends all the time. Guys typically don't. We get into our hobbies. We sit alone. A lot of guys who sit at home for some reason and wants to take a transmission out of their Mustang by themselves instead of calling a buddy to come over and help them move this freaking transmission. Call a buddy, go over, help somebody out.
You got to get the arms and legs out of our transmission. That's what it is.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, that's all I've got for right now.
Man, there's so much that I want to say, a lot to say. Larry Brown asked why I don't carry. I don't carry because I don't know shit about it, and I respect firearms a lot. And if I don't know what I'm doing, I'm not going to touch one. I'm not going to buy one. I'm certainly interested in learning. What I'd like to do, Harry, is like a YouTube video series where I am taught how to go through the whole process, how to use firearms, firing a gun for the first time, all that stuff, just to document that process for people to see. Mm-hmm. So they see. You got your mic turned off again. I'm going to take that toy away from you, young man. So people can see the whole process. I'm not against it. I was not raised around guns, so I don't know shit about them. So I don't fuck with it.
Yeah, and guns aren't the only other self defense weapon out there.
Right.
There's other different things that you can use. Granted, they're some to some capacity, and some people don't like. But use the weapon over that you want to get.
There are Chinese stars all around this apartment.
Libertarian.
Meme the shit out of them. Yeah. Reach the highest level of autism and weaponize it.
That's not.
Next to his size and nunchucks, right?
Yeah. I have the documents. Yeah.
But the other thing is, like, because, like, libertarians, Republicans, they get on this murder porn stage when they start talking about self-defense weapons. Oh, you need this gun at this caliber. Ooh, you put this big hole on somebody. Yeah. Get off the murder porn, okay? It's about defending and saving people's lives. That's what this big thing is about. So, sorry.
So, I never grew up around guns. And to be quite honest, when I was hired at the Libertarian Party of Indiana in 2008... I remember being at a meetup and going, I guess I just don't really see your obsession with guns. I just don't get it. And I was definitely growing up a gun control advocate. I think, like most people who are just kind of around the world but aren't around guns, I think that's a fairly common thought. I mean, Greg, we grew up
around them,
town.
And like all my buddies have them, and it was just something where that wasn't my hobby, but I understand why it was theirs.
Right?
You know, it's something where it doesn't. I would never shoot something I didn't wouldn't eat.
Right.
So then, and then target shooting, I didn't have an appeal.
Right.
To me, where I'd rather, I find it much more impressive if I can take somebody out with a 3-iron. if I can fire a low cut at somebody and hit him in the head on the fly, I'm more impressed than with a gun.
Well, as you know, in the past,
I'm the John Daly of self defense.
I've had an intruder here in my house, and it was James' niece. And as you know, I came around the corner fully nude and with one hand over my cock with a washcloth, and the other hand with a right fist cocked and ready to go. And that is my weapon. I'm very full of tea.
I'm the nude terrorist.
I just assume that like whoever I go around, I'll have the element of surprise on them. And poor James about dropped his 72-ounce soda. So I just didn't grow up around it. And when I started in the libertarian movement, I wouldn't say that I was anywhere near I am now. Someone at that meetup, as we talked about guns, discussed the Second Amendment and the need for the Second Amendment. And we would be remiss if we didn't really touch on that. The reason that libertarians are quote-unquote gun crazy and support the Second Amendment is that the Second Amendment was put there so that they could overthrow a tyrannical government like Britain. It doesn't matter how powerful the government is, because England was the most powerful country in the world. The United Kingdom, I guess we should say, was the most powerful country in the world.
Losers.
Exactly. And they lost to a bunch of farmers with muskets because they had the ability to overthrow their government when it became tyrannical. The Declaration of Independence is one of the greatest statements of human freedom in all of history. And
world's greatest breakup letter.
It is, and it could never have been achieved without the ability to defend themselves with the use of force. Libertarians believe in taking force out of the hands of the government and putting it in our hands. The government is force. The government forces you to do what it wants at the point of either a gun or a jail cell. If you don't pay your taxes, you will go to jail. If you don't obey the law, you can be killed or you can go to jail and have your financial life ruined. At the end of the day, government is force, and we as libertarians do not believe in using that force to make other people live as we or others would have them live. And the only way to really enforce that in society is by having a well-armed society, a well-trained society, not a bunch of madmen running around. Because even though I started to understand this principle of self-defense in terms of not only defending your family, as we talked about, but also defending yourself from government agents who would do you harm. Imagine if you had a gun in North Korea. It's why the Nazis, the first thing they did was start to confiscate guns, is because you cannot have a tyrannical government with a well-armed society. So I understood that part of it, but I didn't understand the safety aspect until I started going to gun shows. And I had a mini panic attack the first time I walked into my first gun show. I was just verklempt. I was a little bit scared, to be honest, because you walk in and you just are surrounded by more weapons than you've ever seen in your life, of every variety. Everyone's carrying around guns, and it's just very intimidating the first time you walk in there. And then over the course of the day, you see the care that people have for those weapons. You see how they handle them. You talk to people about guns. And you start to realize you're in the safest place in all of Indianapolis, because there is no one. There's never been a murder at a gun show. There's never been an accident at the Indy 1500 Gun and Knife Show. And it's because people take care of their weapons. They take care of their fellow man and make sure that they're as safe as possible in these gun shows, because they respect the weapons. And they understand the weapons, and they respect the power and force that those weapons represent. And that is the problem of the left. They don't understand this issue. They don't understand the weapons. They don't understand the respect that gun owners have for their weapons. And that's when I really was like, you know what? I totally get it. you should be able to have whatever you want. because a tank owner would be able to take care of their tank with care. Now, nuclear weapons, I'm morally opposed to nuclear weapons. Nobody should have those. Sorry, Harry.
Ugh.
Another thing we'll have to disagree and argue about next time. But it is. It's common sense. You cannot have freedom, and we cannot start to move power out of the government's hands and into the individual's hands without having a source of force on our own. Am I missing anything, boys?
Sorry, I had cat hair on my water bottle.
Sorry.
I don't think so. I think that's, you make the point, and you come into it from a totally different erection and arrive at the same conclusion.
Erection?
Yeah.
He said erection. Did you hear that, guys?
He said erection.
Freudian slip. He's been sliding hard in the DMs on that phone.
Actually, I don't even want to tell you what I'm doing because it's so offensive. I'm making a meme that's going to rustle the shit out of the Lava Flow podcast. And it has to do with the suicide note in the hotel room. Let you imagine what that might... That note might be left that said.
I've listened to my first episode. I can't go on.
I'm just saying.
Well, like
it wasn't 5 stars on iTunes.
All I know is you put when you listen to Roger's microphone on the Legal Liberty podcast and listen to your microphone. Wow, Roger sounds like he was living in a cave.
No, I'm just saying. Don't come at my equipment, bro.
Granite Echo Cave.
Right.
I don't talk. That's why I don't try to get into like audio battles with Chris. You know, he knows his stuff.
Yeah.
Everything else, oh, yeah, I battle him every day. But the bikes, oh, no, you're right. My bike probably sucks.
Right. So it is. It's about freedom. It is about liberty. It is about maintaining the liberty that we have here in America. And when we have a government as what we have now, which is so eroding the Bill of Rights, we cannot afford to let this one go, because the second the First and the Second Amendment are gone, like the Fourth Amendment, we are completely fucked as a nation. And this great nation ceases to be the shining beacon on the hill. I mean, granted, we have our problems and we've done some fucked up things in the past, but we as Americans are allowed to have this podcast. You know, like we aren't sitting here in fear of any government agent invading this podcast as we criticize for years our government. It's not that way in most other places in the world. Even in the United Kingdom, they have laws where half of the things said on this podcast we would be imprisoned for, because
in Germany, all the things we say would already have us in prison. We're not allowed to talk about the Holocaust.
It's offensive, or it's not politically correct. We as Americans enjoy many great freedoms, and we continue to fight for more and start peeling those back, not asking for permission. It's ours, and it's ours to keep, and we need the Second Amendment to keep it. And this is not something we can compromise on. I'm not going to argue with about silencers or flash suppressors or AK-47s. They're wrong. Their facts are wrong. Their arguments are wrong. And their principle is wrong. Ours is right. And this is a key tenet of freedom. And hopefully after listening to this episode, you feel the same. If you don't, love to hear from you at editor@wearelibertarians.com. If we've left anything out that you think that we need to cover, please send us an email. I'm talking about philosophical stuff. Like if we left out, a long list, a laundry list of gun stuff, I'll listen to it, but we may not read it on the show. So, I want to thank our
don't send us nuance. Honestly, don't send us nuance. Like don't be a liberty Nazi.
No, listen, we want that too. Like, here's the thing. It's just to go back and revisit something that we've already talked about. Like, unless it's a really impactful, people aren't going to get in. This show is not about getting all that deep. Even though we go 2.5 hours on subjects, it's still not like if we were doing a gun podcast, it would be much more detailed about that issue. And, we're like the first stop on the Liberty train. You come here and you hear a lot about Liberty, and then you kind of like move off into the thing that motivates you the most, I think.
Yeah, then go either listen to like Tom Woods or something from Reason.
The Survival Podcast or whatever. So stuff like that. So, all right. So I want to thank our subscribers. We have awesome subscribers, people who just do so much for us. every single day and share our stuff and talk to us on all the various different channels like Discord or Facebook or Facebook groups. You guys are so good to us. I want to thank our $100 subscribers, $100 a month I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of hearing me talk. $100 level a month. I'm sorry. Our super duper fan, Christy Avery. We love you so much. Craig DaCosta, you are awesome. Love talking with you. I want to give a special thanks to Jason Doolittle, who's also in that category. Sent me an awesome birthday present. He handmade this. It is hand carved, hand stained. It is a beautiful cat wood carving. Ooh. That he made himself. Sent it to me for my birthday. It was very...
Is that a cat cookie cutter?
It's not a cookie cutter. It's a wall art. Oh. So I'm going to hang it in the bedroom, but I want to thank him. I want to thank... I think they're $25 subscribers, so I want to thank our $10 subscribers. Joshua Sexton, Stone Aldridge, Reinhold, Joshua Laughlin, Samuel Alexander, Jeremy Franklin, Brian Kloss, Joe Benavides, Eric Anderson, Sarah Potter, Eric Bartline, David Stovall, Brittany Jandry, Jess Nixon, Justin Mitchell, Derek Michou, Mike Trant, Rick Irvine, Zach Felker, that sounds dirty, James Zoldaz, James Darling, Eric Neff, Aaron Herndon, Nick Economopoulos, Brian Travis, Chris Lane, Ryan Clancy, Ken Walker, Rebecca Cash, and David Anderson. And as you know from the last time we did that, that list has gotten longer, and thank you so much for doing that, guys. You guys are just the best. And you, if you would like to join on Patreon and become a subscriber, you can do that at wearelibertarians.com on the right where it says Patreon, and you get the show the night that we record it. You get it in higher quality. You get the beginning and end. We leave that on. We don't edit out that part. It's unedited, commercial-free. You also get a bonus episode this week. You're going to get a special episode in the subscriber feed of Greg and I talking about Hitler's...
Lessons for Libertarians.
Greg, listen to how excited he is.
I thought it was a great episode. Greg, I think people are really going to... No, like, not joking, like... All kidding aside, people are really going to like it.
Look how happy he is. It's like
lit up
Christmas present.
It's like it's the Fourth Reich.
Right.
look at those pupils.
And we're sitting center stage.
His pupil's two times its size right now.
We'd break down propaganda and Hitler's methods for propaganda and moving a country in their direction and how libertarians can apply that. And I think it's really interesting. It's an hour long, and you're going to get that bonus content in your feed.
And we shame the LP a little bit, which is always... It's always fun. Harry loves gaming. I love bashing the LP.
Yes, so please join, and you will get that. If you join at $10 a month and up, you get the live stream during the show and interact with other listeners of the program. And 25 and up, you get a couple cool posters, which are getting sent out very soon, I promise. I've got them all signed and rolled and almost there and ready to go. And then $100 a month, you get to be on the show. If you want to be on the show, it's $100 a month after 2 months. So we will have our three friends on very soon to be on the show. So thank you for joining us here this week. I don't know if we're doing a Thursday show. We're going to talk about it. We want to see what the news cycle is, if there's other news to kind of talk about. But we'll discuss that after the show or tomorrow. But if we don't see you, we will see you next Tuesday. Harry and I will be here giving you all the news topics.
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
I just caught that.
Thank you for joining us here on this episode of We're Libertarians. Now, here's the problem. How do we end this? Because Greg's here.
It's Harry's show.
I promise Greg will never be back on Tuesday.
It's good enough for me.
A lens of cost.